Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Nigel Paul Farage, British politician, leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party, will be joining us coming up in an hour and a half today. He's a gentleman who's given impassioned speeches many times as a European Union Member of Parliament from the UK on the nature of the criminal takeover that has been unfolding through the European Union, now expanding to a global government. And so that is coming up today with Nigel Farage joining us for a full hour. With his final report from Copenhagen for us for a full hour out of the gates tomorrow at the start of the broadcast, we have Lord Christopher Monckton joining us. And there have been a lot of trials and tribulations, quite a soap opera with his lordship over there in the last week and a half. And so he'll be giving us his final report from Copenhagen with the event in disarray imploding tomorrow at the start of the broadcast. Lord Christopher Monckton will be joining us. We have some other surprise guests tomorrow and Friday as well. I have a key stack here on the healthcare bill. We have a chance to beat it. But if we believe the mainstream media that it's a foregone conclusion, it's going to pass, it will probably pass. And I'll say 60-40 right now. But we do have a decent chance, 40% chance, of beating this. Especially in the House. Because they got to have a conference committee. Even if it passes the Senate, they got to line the two up between the House and Senate. And that's where the real fight is. I believe it's going to pass the Senate. It already passed the House. But some of the really bad stuff has been stripped out of the Senate version. Horrible stuff is still there. The House version is even worse. It's the original 5 years in prison, $250,000 fines if you don't have insurance. And Democrats and Republicans who voted for it in the House are admitting they know it's political suicide. I mean, they are politically dead unless they can get electronic fraud machines, which a lot of cities and counties do have in their districts. I mean, minus election fraud. And there is a lot of that going on. That's why they don't seem to care as much now. Minus that, they are all politically dead ducks in 1 year. All of them that are up for re-election. And that's everybody in the House. They're up every 2 years. That's a great part about it. Kind of a natural form of term limits built into there. The Senate's got 6 years. They think you'll forget. But there are some senators up. Now, it's staggered. Every 2 years, a certain percentage, what, one-third of the senators are up for vote. What, 33? So that is going on there. We're going to be breaking that down. And the latest on Copenhagen, obviously, and we'll get a British perspective on EU hegemony with Nigel Farage coming up in an hour and a half from now, or now an hour and 25 minutes. I want to do what I did yesterday, though, early on. I want to just open the phones up directly. I'm trying to train myself to take more calls because, in hindsight, when I tune into the rebroadcast, I like to hear the calls. And so we're going to open the phones up on any issue you wish to discuss in T-minus 4 minutes. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. It is the 16th day of December on this frosty Wednesday across the United States with record low temperatures being confirmed in Canada and Europe, as well as Russia. So this frosty December day.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, coming up in an hour and 22 minutes from now, Nigel Farage, the powerful speaker, member of the European Union Parliament, will be joining us. He's the head of the United Kingdom's Independence Party. And he's the gentleman we played as clips before who has royally skewered. Skewered is the word. The European Union members of Parliament, as well as Herman Van Rompuy. In fact, let's get some of those clips. I forgot to tell you guys. Let's get some of those clips I aired a few weeks ago. Watson knows the clips. He wrote articles about it, where he destroys Van Rompuy for his corruption and exposes their world government takeover plan. I want to play a few of those in the run-up to Nigel Farage, European Union Member of Parliament, joining us, head of the United Kingdom Independence Party. So that is coming up today. We're going to have tons of news and open phones during the balance of the time. Here's the really big financial news that I'm going to get into at the start of the second hour directly. Gulf Petro powers to launch currency in latest threat to dollar hegemony. See, there's no doubt that they're killing the dollar. The decision has been made. They've gone in the last year from debating killing the dollar to deciding how are they going to kill it. It's kind of like you got a bunch of cows out in your back 40, and you're going to butcher them yourself, like my daddy did when he was growing up. And they'd go out and pick usually a year and a half, you know, younger, juicy, plump cow that they wanted to take around back and shoot in the head and haul up by its hooves and butcher it themselves and put it in the deep freeze for family meat for the next 6 months or so. And so they were looking out there, deciding if they were going to kill the cow. And now they've marched out, and they've picked to kill the dollar, and now they've taken it around behind the barn, and they've got the little .22 rifle out, and they're walking over to Missy, the cow, or Elsie, give it whatever name you want, the United States, and they're putting the .22 to the side of our head and about to pop us a couple times. You don't want to have a mess. About to put a .22 bullet into our brain. It'll bounce around nicely inside. And so it's now happening. And I really want to discuss what this is going to mean for everyone in this country. You think the economy is bad now? Just wait. And the Federal Reserve has been lovingly engineering all this. The Arabs wouldn't be doing this unless they've been given authorization. This has all been planned and set up for a long time. So that is coming up. We also will get into the latest, and there are big developments. The Copenhagen event is falling apart, blowing up in their face even more spectacularly than we had originally thought it would. So this is certainly great news, and all of you getting the word out deserve the lion's share of the credit. So I salute all of you out there exposing these fraudsters for what they are. We'll go over that. The bad news is the Senate is going to pass by Christmas. The smart money is on the fact they're going to pass the health care bill. But they've got to then go into conference and make sure the two bills integrate together at the House level. And that's where people are really getting scared that voted for it. So there is a big exodus of rats leaving the sinking ship there. We got a chance to kill this as well, but we've got to absolutely call every member of the House that voted for it, call the committee that's involved over it. We've got to go ahead and keep calling Lieberman and let that rat know that he's saying now, oh, he's going to vote for it. I told you he was. He's only grandstanding. The guy is a piece of work. Well, regardless, that's all coming up. Very important information today. Police state news dealing with the persecution of people selling vitamins and herbs. The State Department is kidnapping American citizens who have set up factories even people that are naturalized citizens of, say, Ecuador. They're kidnapping them now using CIA squads, snatch and grab squads. I mean, the snatch and grab squads are for everybody. And I want you to know it was confirmed. Remember that video got millions of views from Pittsburgh a few months ago where men in army uniforms jump out and grab protesters and put them in cars and drive away? And the neocon sites came out and said it was staged, it wasn't real. Michelle Malkin, who said that wasn't a real puppy the Marines threw off the cliff, the little puppy holding its legs up under it. I mean, anybody can tell you that's a real puppy whimpering. And, of course, later the Marines were charged with it, and they did kill a puppy. But, again, psych warfare, though, always tells you it's not real. And it's the same thing on the earlier case I was just talking about. But they're being caught red-handed there as well. So the G20 put out a press release. They were on this. We had the G20 head security officer call here. They dialed Rob Jacobson's extension. And I called him back, and then they wouldn't give me their name. But I checked the number, and it was one of the sub-prefixes of the G20 head security office. And they just said, that was our security people working with the Army. We are in control. This is under our jurisdiction while we're here, under agreements with the city and the county. Allegheny County. It's the same thing with the UN in Copenhagen. They have UN police running around with sidearms in the city saying, we are in control. They just show up and announce, we are over you. Our jurisdiction is in control. And they had snatch and grab teams out there grabbing people. And Michelle Malkin, fake neocon, came out and said, oh, that's fake too. Yeah, honey, it's real fake. Just like the Pentagon admitting they torture people's children in front of them. That's in the Toogoombo Army Report. Back when the neocons thought they had the public sold on all this tyranny, they were admitting in 2002 they were torturing people's wives and children in front of them. That's what the good guys do. What? You're for the good guys, aren't you? Everybody knows taking a five-year-old and torturing them, including sexually, in front of their parents, is what the red, white, and blue stands for. Come on, you're tough, aren't you? Get with the program! You like being put on a no-gun buy list, don't you? Just because the government feels like it. No judge, no jury, you're not arrested. You don't know why you got on the list. That's freedom. It was freedom in Soviet Russia. It was freedom in Pol Pot's Cambodia. It's freedom in China, and it's the new freedom. All right, I'm going to your phone calls until we start the next hour. Then I'm doing the news blitz on the economy, on the government takeover of healthcare, and Copenhagen. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all coming up. Right now, let's go to Ryan in Indiana. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty fired up.
Yeah, me too. Did you notice on Google, just the other day, there was 49 million hits for ClimateGate, and now it's down to 9.2 million.
Yes, and Google's CEO, Schmidt, says that your house is going to be on Street View, but his isn't. And he said, just get used to it. We're watching everything you do. Ha, ha, ha.
And
so they've gone from, oh, we would never surveil you to, we surveil you however we want. Get used to it, Mac.
And Time Magazine just named Ben Bernanke as Person of the Year.
Yeah, they got to prop him up. Why not give him a Peace Prize?
Oh, man, it gets funnier by the day, doesn't it?
Why doesn't the Pope just make him a saint? I hear you, Ryan. Good to hear from you. Lisa in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex?
Hello, Lisa.
Sorry. Hi, Alex.
Nothing to be sorry about. How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. Okay. I'm really upset, and I need some advice. My son came home from school the other day, sixth grade, has a 100 average in science, with a mandatory PEC powerhouse investigation booklet. And I received an email the night before that it was mandatory that he has to have this filled out, signed, and returned in 2 days. We get the booklet, and it has 16 pages of home investigation questions. How many hair dryers? What kind of water heater? How much insulation? What does your front door face? How is your pool heated? what is your rooftop? Everything, square footage. And I said to my husband, this has nothing to do with science.
Then I this is huge news, and I am aware of this, but I'm going to beg you to fax us that or to scan it.
Well, what I did, we made copies. I sent you an email the other day about getting this. I knew it was coming. And then I received an automated phone call last night reminding me to get this sent in. And we weren't going to do it. We were going to tell my son to stand up, but we were so scared. And he was going to, I'm really, really, really
you
upset.
Submitted.
We did. And my husband and I are sick to our stomach. We totally submitted. We knew it.
But you still have a copy of it, right?
Oh, yeah. And we're requesting a meeting with the science head.
Okay, let me stop you. Okay. For at least 12 years, when they began to computerize the schools, and I have the BATF grants, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Now it's BATFE explosives. And this is just one small area of all this. But what you've talked about here is why I talk about a total grid. That in hundreds of school districts in the late 90s, and it's grown to thousands, they have a local sheriff or police officer who is a BATF deputy under a grant. The town may get $500,000 just for two or three officers. And they go in and they have the children in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, depending on the school, in a computer, write an essay for the officer about the guns in the home, about the medicine cabinet, about the house. Now, they also have federally paid for anti-plagiarism software. The teachers believe it's for that. It's been declassified that actually chronicles everything your child writes, and it's put into databases. Let me explain what's happened. This is a roundabout census in your home and a carbon audit. Stay there.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
When your nation signs a treaty to be under UNESCO, United Nations Educational and Cultural Organization, your entire society is then governed by UN edicts. And the states and counties and school districts follow it because it's tied to federal funds. All children in America, by law, even if you're homeschooled, they're now trying to implement it under the New Freedom Initiative, are to be given 4 psychological review, internal New Freedom Initiatives. You got to love that Orwellian term. Written by the drug companies, say the goal is to go from 20% of kids on drugs to over 50. It's purely to drug you. I mean, they admit themselves it's a fraud. BATF runs programs. The United Nations 2 weeks ago, it got declassified, is running local public schools from Australia to Canada to the United States to Europe. It's all standardized, all the same curriculum. They have the kids come home and write up dossiers on their parents and their climate footprint. Parents tend to submit to the school. And we are a nation who full-grown men shake in fear when a teacher says, tell me what's in your gun case. It's federal law, by the way, that totally illegal and unconstitutional, that when you go into a pediatrician, they ask the parents to leave and they say, does mommy and daddy have guns? Do you have access to them? Do you ever get spanked? They're trying to take your kids. Everyone's been turned into an agent. Now, a lot of people just ignore it. They still have some America left in them, some freedom, some John Wayne left in them, some George Washington is the real John Wayne. And they just don't follow this. Just like 7 years ago, they said, I can't talk about my political views 6 weeks before an election. Everybody just ignores it. I'm an American. I'll talk about whatever I want under your campaign finance reform. So, ma'am, specifically, Lisa in Texas, tell us your school district. Get past the fear. You're a free person. You're not in the Soviet Union yet, but if we give in, they will win. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, oh, how we burned in the camps later, wishing we would have stood up. You got to stand up, Lisa, and you've done that calling in today. But specifically, give us the school district at least. A generality of what grade your child's in, the name of the handbook, because I can probably just Google it. It's probably online. I mean, I'm familiar with literally hundreds of these. But next it's going to be, I guarantee you, if they're doing this, he's doing on computer little dossiers on you. But specifically, what is this called, Lisa?
It's the PEC Powerhouse Investigation.
Yeah, see, everything's an investigator. So it's the, say it again, the PEC?
Powerhouse Investigation.
Okay, that is a carbon footprint assessment, PEC, right. Powerhouse Investigation. And see, children love being given power. Parents aren't taught the secrets to getting your children to do what you say. You make them, like my son is the head of security in the house. It's his job to make sure all the doors are double locked whenever people are in the house. And then because I give him petty power, he then serves me dutifully. But that's what you're meant to do. Instead, they tell you to never... They teach you how to not teach your children, and then they actually have the ways to actually have the children under their control. Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. He did not want to do it. We had a good discussion with him. There's 12 schools in Central District, Central Texas, that are doing this, and we were chosen as one of them. And they threatened him with a zero if he did not complete this.
To come home, we'll see, again, the UN has stated, the school will take over America. They're fully federalized, / institutionalized, internationalized, and they just fully come in. Ma'am, we need to make a big deal about this. Your headline should be parents, you know, children threatened with zeros on grades if they don't create dossiers of family homes, spy on parents. Lisa, you've got to get to a Kinko's or to a scanner. I gave you the email. You've got to write like a one-page or two-paragraph synopsis and send this to us immediately. Guys, Google PEC Powerhouse Investigation. I'm going to shut up. Continue, ma'am.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's a 16-page, very, very intrusive document that this child, who is 11 years old, is supposed to come home and measure everything and calculate what refrigerator we have and the cubic.
Yeah, I just found it. Are you in Wimberley? Because this document's in Wimberley.
Yeah, there's, I'd rather not say right now because we
Because we're in such a free country. Yeah, you better not. I'm not land of the free. I understand, ma'am. I understand. Listen, yes, this is nothing. I mean, this is bad. But, ma'am, my film, The Takeover, made in 2000, has the BATF in most schools. See, when you see on your kid's elective for the 7th or 8th grade, you want to take law enforcement, and they encourage him to do it, they literally brainwash your children. But that's nothing. I tell you what, stay there. I said I take a lot of calls, but each caller just brings up incredible wild cards of evil. Get this to Kurt. Get it to Watson. We'll add into it the environmental brainwashing. Okay, Lisa hung up. I guess because I didn't tell her to hold over. I doubt you'll be able to get back in. Lisa, if you can get back in, 1-800-259-9231. And we did pull it up. It's the Pertinalis Electric Authority that was actually set up by LBJ, who was just one of the king swindlers of all time. Scores of books have been written about all his criminal activity in Central Texas. He was basically a Dixie Mafia don here locally. So I just grew up learning about it. And Pertinalis Authority just got in a bunch of trouble. The news reported for money laundering and a bunch of other things. But that's a side issue. They go into power companies, schools, and they say, we're going to give you a $200,000 grant. You just got to get the kids to go into everybody's house and report what's in them. And the feds are spending billions every year, and the kids are writing dossiers on everything you do. Think about it. You pay all these property taxes, send your children to a government training camp, and the parents, even listeners of this show, are scared to stand up, and they fill it out. And they say, you're going to do an environmental assessment of your house. This is preparing you for the federal police that are going to come in your home that are in the greenhouse gas tax bill. It's passed the House and is in the Senate. They are taking over your children. What is it about that? I mean, I have the New York Times where they praise the 7-year-old coming home and writing tickets to their mother for hot baths, hot water, and brushing her teeth and leaving the water running in the sink. Okay? This is what we cover in Fall of the Republic. This is how they're doing it. And once they get them trained, a lot of parents go, good, you're spying on me. You're tattling on me for the environment. Next, it's your medicine cabinet. They ask them, are mommy and daddy arguing? That's not illegal. Still, you get a CPS visit. Look at Tiger Woods getting CPS trying to take his kids now. This is how America works. Folks, we're not in a free country. These creeps are everywhere. But I don't particularly need her to send me that now. Did you send Kurt and Paul the IN link to the Pertinalis River Authority, Power Authority?
Well, as soon as I leave, actually. As soon as I head back out, I'll get that over to them.
I mean, as soon as you're not on air?
Exactly.
Okay, Ryan works here in our office. Ryan, you actually worked for these guys.
I worked for Austin Energy for 5 years as a customer service representative. Just got the bills paid. But one thing that hit during those years in December of 2008 was a big shakeup in Pedernales regarding payments that were made to a law firm, Clark, Thomas, and Winters, which actually got filtered through and sent directly to the brother of the CEO, Benny Fuelberg. And the scandal was very big.
Same thing at LCRA. All of these authorities are private cash machines. They have their own SWAT teams. They run the schools. They literally just rule everyone. They just let you know, you are scum. We own you now. SWAT teams hitting people's homes. It's just hell force out in the hill country, just ravaging us, just literally waving machine guns in the air. I mean, I've been to the homes. I've been to the families of people, you know, living in 150-year-old German houses. Just goat farmers, and they're like, SWAT team came by again. I've been literally, one time was an old German guy dying of cancer, he's like, and they shoved my wife up against the wall, and they said they's the boss now, because I live by the river. And I don't know why they've been by here 3 times, and that's not enough for them. Now the kids report on what's going on in your house, because it's America, and they're going to do it, and you're going to love it! I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. Well, Pedernales basically has had a history. It's a long history, as you mentioned, from their founder, even of scandals.
Oh, LBJ was never involved in corruption.
Exactly. And it's very common right now for a lot of utility companies to basically get the kids to do what.
But their quasi-government is the issue.
Exactly. And
I mean, they've got SWAT teams. They've got LCRA has cameras all over Central Texas. They're in with T. Boone Pickens grabbing the water supply. Get ready for that to go up. Then they brainwash the kids. There's no water. They're teaching kids who in 15 years will be paying taxes or 10 years paying taxes that water is all about to go up. Yeah, because they're seizing it all.
Yeah, and you don't really have a choice in the matter. You need electricity.
No, we're a third world nation run by guys with private armies.
Exactly. And in the case of, for example, Austin Energy, it's a city-run utility, and everyone in Austin has no other choice. They have to go through that one. With Pedernales, any market they're in, they're extremely dominant. They're very dominant, and you almost have to choose them unless you want to pay an exorbitant amount.
But they do have community fish fries, and the directors of it wear cowboy hats and walk around to all the locals and make them feel important and make fake country boy noises. They go,
I'm serious. I've seen LCRA and Pertinalis Authority little propaganda pieces they play on Channel 17 in the county. And literally, these guys just swindle around with all the good old boys. This country is a rat-infested wormhole. We have got to admit what we've turned into. But it's not enough they get all your money and have their private SWAT teams. Now your kids work for them.
Exactly.
Leave our children alone, you dirtbags! Get out of our families! I said I'd take calls. I just can't handle it anymore. I can't handle the scum anymore.
And just to give you a little idea of some of the reasons why all these green initiatives are coming from the power companies, which are really
nothing green. It means they take your property at the point of a gun.
Here's what they do.
Around here, they want your ranch or farm. It's theirs.
Most of their money, in fact, about 90% of any utility company's money comes from selling their electricity to other third-party electric companies. So the less that
the people in the country, they always pay for the power and pay for the plant, and then it's shipped and sold to the big cities.
Exactly. And the less energy you use, the more energy they can sell at a higher rate to another electric company, which will then, in a small community, for example.
And your kids are going to be there rebuking you and spying on you.
Exactly.
And the better part is the less you use, they can even then charge you even more.
Exactly.
Artificial scarcity. The favorite rape tool. But it doesn't matter. They're going to double the energy prices, they've admitted, double the water prices. The public will love it. They'll love their kids wearing little armbands rebuking them. That's what America is. See, America isn't 1776. The average American thinks 1984 when they read it. They think, oh, this is a wondrous place. They think this is where I want to live. I mean, it must be, because that's what America's turning into, Ryan.
Absolutely.
That's what I mean, though. Any group. Think about the feds, though. Literally, every community group. They're even giving money to Rotary clubs. They're giving money to the Masons. The Masons are running around getting DNA kits on all the kids and giving it to the feds. I mean, they're just piranhas everywhere feeding on us. And you talk to the average moron who's part of these groups, they think it's good. They think they're doing good. No, you're not doing good. You're not good. You understand, you're just like some Soviet agent who thought they were good in 1939 Russia. You're not good. You're bad. You understand that? You're bad. I didn't mean to go into a complete rant. Will you send those Perdinalis documents? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. All over the country, kids are coming home doing environmental audits. And they got kids, shows like Climate Cops is now on in the U.S., produced in Australia, where they go around and give you tickets if you're, but you save money. That's what's fun about it. But what they're doing is they're setting the precedent that they boss your life. They come in your home. They run your life.
That's right. If they can get you to knock your kilowatt hour usage down through all of the extensive green initiatives that they put through, if they can get you to knock it down, they'll just bump the price per kilowatt hour. And they'll sell the excess over to another company. They profit in two different ways.
But it's worse than that. That's just for the local pimps, you know, the local dons. Up higher, every initiative is to get your kids to literally, in some school districts, a third of their work is writing dossiers on their family. And the parents sit there and let this happen. They're taking your children away from you right in front of you, and now it's going to be year-round school. I mean, how stupid are people?
Incredibly stupid. They'll walk into it smiling.
Well, I don't deserve what's happening. We can say, oh, well, they get what they deserve. That won't do it. Just because you got a bunch of sheep out there that think wolves are their friends doesn't mean that we don't have to stand up. We've got to do something, Ryan.
Absolutely. I'm going to start by making sure we get an article posted about this situation, especially.
Well, it's not just Perdinalis swindling everybody and money laundering. I mean, it's all these groups. Literally. The larger issue is these guys are putting up surveillance systems to surveil all of us. They're becoming the new environmental authorities. I mean, it was in the Statesman that a former Special Forces colonel runs the environmental carbon footprint program. I mean, it's paramilitary, because if you can control resources, you've got feudal slaves. These guys all have SWAT teams. This is a iron tyranny with a green glove on it.
And the biggest offenders for their green initiatives, their biggest offenders on carbon footprints, is normally the people at the top that are sponsoring all of these projects that they.
But it's not offending anything. So what if some water runs down the ditch? That's what it's always done. So what? We need to have more resources. Humans make a lot of areas they move into better. But they sell us that we're bad, so we'll let them rape us. It has nothing to do with the environment. Ryan, thanks for coming in. Said I'm going to go to calls. I'm just ranting here because it just reminds me how sick everything is. See, I know too much, folks. It's like that Gnarls Barkley song, you know, I'm crazy. I went crazy, but not because I didn't know enough. I just know too much. I mean, I just start thinking about everything they're doing, and it's just unbelievable. It's like a house that's had termites for 20 years, and you put a new coat of paint on it, and it looks fine, but you walk on the porch, your foot falls through. You open the door, it falls off its hinges. You lean up against the wall with your hand goes through the wall. It's all completely rotten. You peel back the government propaganda paint anywhere, it's just termites. They've eaten everything. It's unbelievable. I can't believe that most smart people that learn about this decide to go join it. They say, well, the public's a bunch of idiots and there's a criminal enterprise. If you can't beat them, join them. I'm going to go rob everybody. And I talk to so many well-to-do, focused, intelligent, even handsome people who you would think would be noble. And they're just like, it's the way of the world, Alex. You better just join it. No, I'm never going to join it. You people make me sick. Huh. Do you understand that once you have that attitude of just giving to corruption, it's over? You become North Korea. You become Mexico. You become a cross between the two. You become Saudi Arabia. You become communist China. I can't believe it. I love this country so much. And there's just criminals everywhere. And now the criminals, like the Soviets, are getting in power completely and now saying if you're good, you're bad. They teach the police that gun owners and veterans and conservatives and libertarians are the big threat to America. And then so conservatives go along with it. They put up a picture of a guy in a turban and say, give up your rights to beat this guy. And conservatives go, all right, I will. Sorry, Bubba, you can't own a gun anymore. You're on a no-fly, no-buy list. We won't tell you why, but it's for America. I don't like it, but as long as it's to stop Al-Qaeda, I guess I'm for it. Stop being gullible morons. Get angry when the public schools sit there and tell you that your kids work for them and a third of their schoolwork currently is writing dossiers on mommy and daddy and everything you do. That isn't freedom. That's as bad as tyranny gets. And now we've got confirmed reports of the Pentagon snatching citizens off the streets all over America. And I'll tell you this, I'm nonviolent. I'm not looking for trouble, but I'm not getting in any army truck, and anybody tries to grab me and put a bag over my head, I'm going to give fight. Ooh, so radical. Alex won't run into the pit and be shot in the back of the head. You know what? All these stupid cops and all these dumb military people that think they're patriots and think that tyranny's good, do you fools have any idea what's going to happen when 1% of gun owners are forced to stand up against you? And 1,500,000 combatants have only got to go out and go after one person apiece and then never do anything else again. And you are destroyed, annihilated. But you're like a bully. You just can't help it. You just got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. I got to sit here and read army reports where you're torturing people's kids in front of them? You dirty, dark, evil people? And you got to tell me you're the good guys? At least a lot of other bad guys in histories were strong-willed enough to believe they, you know, to know they were the bad guys, not delusionally believe they were the good guys. Oh, see, I take one call like that that just sends me into a red haze of anger. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're not going to stop. The bankers are not going to stop. They are not going to stop raping. Do you understand that? They are not going to stop. I had a national TV host call me yesterday. They want to come down here in early January and interview me. I can't say no, even though it'll all be rigged. It'll all be taped. I have to walk into the lion's den regardless, but they are really figuring out that we're waking people up. Oh, man. We're an evil country, so we're going to fall, period, until we repent. You know, the Bible's right, folks. We've got to individually change ourselves to change the whole. This couldn't have happened if, on average, we weren't a wicked country. Wicked nations go into bondage, period. Joe in New York, thanks for holding her on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. You are a little crazy, but that's all right, because once you can have fun with this all and look at it as like a...
Really? I'm crazy? I'm crazy. I've studied history, and I know that when the government starts taking over people's kids and having them reporting on their parents, that you're in the most hardcore tyranny you could possibly be in, and I'm crazy to be upset trying to warn my fellow mammals. I mean, a chimpanzee knows how to put out a scream to warn people when a lion is about to eat them. I mean, is that chimpanzee crazy?
I'm crazy, too. Listen, I say it in a good way. Once you can look at the world and see it as like a Jonathan Swift satire and just how crazy everything is around you, you're doing okay. And I commend you for that. But there's a point I want to make here. Because people do get pessimistic. People get, you know, they shrink. And, you know, when a big moment could find a big people, it doesn't happen because people, they cower in fear. And just recently,
don't people know that when you're cowering is when you're weak?
Oh, it is.
Don't they understand the evil doesn't go away just because you cower? It gets worse. You got to stand up and fight it.
Yes, it does. And just recently, I blew up at my town hall meeting with my congressman.
Good.
And it was, I need to put it out there that more people need to do it, because it is the best feeling that anyone could have, is to stand up to that tyranny.
You know, that's the thing. I couldn't imagine just turning my back and putting my face down and letting the wolves come in and tear my guts out my hind end. I mean, if I'm going to go down to these wolves, it's going to be standing up on my feet. I don't understand the problem people've got. Why are we so cowardly? Why do we become pure scum?
But they had to rush him out of the room because of what I said to him.
What did you say? I want to hear what you said to this snake.
Okay.
When we come back, stay there. Stay there, Joe. Then George, John, Cynthia, Roger. Look, criminals took over your government. They're raping you. It'd be like if you left somebody in charge of your business for 20 years and left. I guarantee you when you come back, they're going to take advantage of you. That's just the way it works. Wake up.
Man thinks 'cause he rules it us.
Look, criminals run the government. They're kicking out the last good guys. They're openly setting up Homeland Security and Northcom and federalizing your local police to rob you, to torture you, to kill you, pain compliance, snatch and grab teams. They are consciously setting up a buffet, and you're the food. You understand that? That's what tyranny is. And they admit they're bribing the senators to vote for the health care bill. I've got all this news on that. I mean, it's just total criminals everywhere. And they'll burn a governor for going to hookers or for something else, you know, little low-level stuff, but never the big stuff. And they give awards to Bernanke, who swindled trillions of dollars the last year from you, and won't say where the money went. And then they put him up all over the news as this big hero. I mean, it's just a sick joke. It's all a sick joke. Joe in New York, what did you say to run the scallywag to ground?
The meeting started out with him it was primarily on health care. And then I interrupted and I told him he's a liar and that he fails to mention the bailout of Wall Street and the City of London. And that so long as we can bail out banks and cut health care for people, that's a fascist policy. And then I proceeded to ask him, when is he going to stop? Because my congressman is John Hall. I'm not afraid to say it's a free country. And he's the traitor, not me. So I told him it's very well known to me that he's part of the Nancy Pelosi clique and that he's hiding behind the power of financiers such as George Soros and Felix Rowatin, and that it's just morally reprehensible.
And at that, he scurried away.
Yes, they scurried him right out of the room quickly, especially after, because he tried to tell me the economy's getting better. So then I told him, then how come in 1968 George Ball called for the intentional destruction of the United States economy to bring in the World Corporation? And that's when they hurried him out of the room.
Oh, they said, we got a thinker. Evacuate. I appreciate your call. Did you videotape it? Because the key is videotape your confrontations and put them on the web to show others it's okay. Because, see, you know, you had to get the courage to go do it and then the courage to even say his name. That's not courage. That's survival. That's your instincts kicking in. That's becoming human, becoming honorable. And I salute you, Joe, but you need to buy a cheap camera and videotape it.
Can I make one more point, Alex?
You know, Joe, but I won't be able to get to other callers. Go ahead.
All right. It'll be very quick because we're talking about the House and all that. And there's currently a strategic campaign being run in the country. There's someone running against Barney Frank, Nancy Pelosi, and Pete Olson out in Texas even. They're all part of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and they're having websites put up soon. And they're in the fight just like you are. And God bless you, Alex, and everything you do.
All right, I appreciate your call. You know, I think the LaRouche people put out good info but on what's happening, but not good info on the solutions. I disagree with their solutions. Okay, many of their solutions. I'm going to come back and talk to George, John, Cynthia, and Roger. Then I'm getting into the economic news. Then I'm getting into Copenhagen, huge developments there, and the healthcare. That's coming up. And then Nigel Farage, member of the European Union Parliament, and, of course, the former head of his political party in England, he will be joining us coming up in T-minus 35 minutes from now. And I'm also going to get his latest bio so that we can go over that. We're also going to play some clips of him coming up. I wanted to just briefly in this hour remind you that running up until Christmas, you can get Fall of the Republic, the film, and get a free Obama Joker poster or a free Don't Tread on Me, Join or Die shirt. We have a large selection of those two variants. Free shirts at Infowars.com or call and ask about the special 888-253-3139.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two, coming up in 30 minutes. Nigel Farage, European Union Member of Parliament from England, the head of the British Independence Party. That is coming up. Outspoken critic of the New World Order. Right now I'm continuing to take your phone calls here today. You know, we were talking about in the last hour how public school children, private school students as well, have BATF, the Department of Energy, the Department of Labor, the U.S. Census, local power companies. In fact, in England, they run the climate cops. One of the biggest power companies trains them how to spy on their parents, how their parents are bad. Al Gore teaches the kids to rebuke your parents. The state's taking your kids away from you, and you love it. You think you've been cowed. You've been taught that the government and uniforms are God, and you're a slave, and you have to pay taxes for the air you breathe. But every week I see an article like this one where they say in art class, draw a picture of your father. So they draw a picture of their dad who's in the army. They get arrested. And I've seen multiple cases where it's the last day of school. And it's always the valedictorian or the salutatorian. And it's always a woman for some reason, always a girl. And they buy a cake for their teacher, and they have a few friends after school. And there's two cases of this I've seen. I've had them both on. And the security guards know what to look for. They come in and say, oh, you got a cake. Did you bring a tablecloth and stuff? Yeah, it's right here in this bag. And you pull out the little Dixie cup box of knives, spoons, forks. And they arrest you because of the knives. I mean, they're looking for a slave. They're looking for somebody to hurt. They're looking for somebody to get in the grid. But in this case, they were asked, draw a Christmas picture. And the boy drew a picture of Jesus on the cross. That's what he'd seen at church. And they suspended him and are now having him do psychological evaluation, saying it's violent. And all it is a picture of Jesus on the cross. Because he goes to church. And they don't care. The school's not apologizing. That's the way it is. Because it's a crime to draw a picture of Jesus. See, separation of church and state now means you don't talk about God. That's why schools all over the country, if kids will have a Bible in their bag, they'll throw it away and freak out like it's pornography. Separation of church and state was a letter by a founder to a newspaper. It's not in there, but the issue is you don't have government running religion, not you don't have religion anywhere in the society. But the point is, this is just Soviet Union. I don't think in the Soviet Union they expelled kids for drawing a picture of a kid on a cross. I mean, this is the hatred of Christians. And you got to remember, Trotsky was the main guy that killed millions of Christians in Russia and blew up their churches and in Ukraine. And then he got kicked out and came to the U.S. And his top lieutenant was William Kristol's father. I mean, that's a fact, that the neocons are actually just nation wreckers. These are revolutionaries, and they've got Homeland Security in place. They've got the National Police Force in place. The Homeland Security's taught the number one threat, the number one evil is conservatives, gun owners, libertarians, patriots. And they want to set up a Russian-style purge of landowners and people. And they run Obama, and it's all a big joke to them. I mean, it's funny. It's funny that this is their country now, and they're going to try to run a purge. It had nothing to do with Soviets. You know, now they call themselves right-wingers. They're just thugs. They know how to get into a government, take it over, and start killing. They've done a super good job in China and in Russia and in Cuba, everywhere else. And the same financial interest actually funded Hitler. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. But Massachusetts boy suspended over Jesus on cross self-portrait. You don't do that in the land of the free, home of the brave.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Yeah, that's the freedom of the new America. You get caught with a plastic knife in your lunchbox, you go to jail. You draw a picture of your dad on a hunting trip, you go to jail. They tell you, draw a picture for Christmas. You get suspended and psychological testing ordered because it was seen as bizarre by them to draw a picture of Jesus on the cross. You can see the photo up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Mass boy suspended over Jesus on cross self-portrait. The 8-year-old special needs student, boy, they just batter those kids. That's somebody they probably hit with a bunch of mercury in their shots. The 8-year-old special needs student near Boston will be changing schools after being suspended and given a psychological evaluation for a Christmas drawing of himself as Jesus on the cross. But it's not himself. He just said that to spin it. The boy drew the stick figure crucifixion after his teacher at Max Ham Elementary School asked for class to produce pictures that reminded them of the holidays. The Christ figure had X's for eyes, and the boy wrote his name above that. Well, what child watching TV wouldn't see stuff like that? That alarmed the teacher, considered it a violent drawing, and the boy was suspended and ordered to be evaluated at his parents' expense. I mean, think of all the violent video games the culture says just give your kids and all the violence on TV. But then the minute, I mean, I've seen, no exaggeration, more than 50 times. I mean, it's got, I'm just guesstimating, probably 100. You've seen it over and over again where you'll have some 14-year-old, no criminal record, on the football team in one case, was for creative writing in the sophomore year in high school, writes a story about zombies attacking a fictitious high school, and his parents reported him, and the school commended them, and he was arrested and has now been charged, facing all these years in prison for planning an attack on the school. And the police are on record saying, well, folks, for fiction articles, they arrest you now. Well, that's zero tolerance. You always hear, we found out about a plan to bomb the school. Then you find out it's always some essay written. See, do as we say, not as we do. Put all this violence and stuff out in the culture. All the new top video games, you rape and kill prostitutes for money, or you walk into airports and run false flags, killing U.S. citizens to blame it on your enemies. You know, people fantasizing they're the government staging terror. Oh, I mean, I know multiple top games right now you do that, like Call of Duty and others. I can show you the video of it. Russian stage false flags, the American stage false flags. Of course, the real Army Manual, 2004, teaches Army captains how to stage terror attacks. I mean, they're teaching captains how to stage terror attacks. And then the video games teach them how to do it, too. But God forbid you draw a picture of Jesus, baby. You're going to jail. You're going to jail. You're getting kicked out of school. You're getting a psychological evaluation. This is the secret police grid in America. With all of our psychological minders. See, they start political correctness with something that sounds reasonable. Don't deny that Hitler was bad and killed a bunch of people, or we'll arrest you. Don't use the N-word, or we'll arrest you. And then next it's, don't deny global warming's man-made, or we'll arrest you. They're calling for Lord Monckton in the London Guardian to be arrested and executed. Anyone who questions at a press conference is arrested or detained. You have press credentials at a UN event. You go up and ask about ClimateGate. Men with guns run up and drag you out. Oh, that's freedom. We've been trained to be slaves. We have to rediscover what freedom is. Let me just tell you, in a free society, half the billboards driving down the highway aren't government admonishments bossing you around, setting the precedent that they're the bosses and you're the criminals. I mean, you go watch a movie like Running Man, released in 1984, and every other billboard is a government announcement. And announcements about how to turn family members in. Now I turn on Austin News and see Austin Police Department ads enrolling children with credit cards that get $200 when you turn in a family member. I'm living in the Running Man. We're only one step away from Ben Richards going to his brother's apartment and saying, "Where is my brother?" Well, after you got arrested, Mr. Richards, he complained, so he got permanently detained. That means killed. And Ben Richards looks up in shock. Now they're starting the snatch and grabs of citizens. They have created giant cadres of criminal CIA officers and private contractors who think it's funny to grab citizens off the street, put a bag over their head, or come in your house at night and drag you off, and you're never seen again. They like torturing people. They like hacking fingers off with hatchets. You know, Chuck Norris made movies like Delta Force where the Muslims put drills into our troops' legs. Did you know, actually, the CIA manual, they use drills on people? That's what they do. Oh, but it's bad when the Muslims use drills fictitiously, but when our government uses drills, it's good. Jeffrey Dahmer used drills on people, but it's bad when he does it, but not bad when the CIA does it. We have a bankrupt moral government. It's morally bankrupt. It's rotten. Rotten to its very maggot-filled core. And the sooner we wake up to that, the better. Now, you think $23.7 trillion, that's a four-month-old number, it's probably over $30 trillion, following the graph, but $23.7 trillion stolen's bad. When they start gutting the dollar, which is already beginning, but when they devalue it by two-thirds, that's probably what they're going to go, at least half, in just the next year or so, that's currently what they're doing. The standard of living, you'll have less jobs, lower pay, but things will cost more. Hyper depression, an inflationary depression, the worst thing there is. They didn't have that during the Great Depression. It was just a depression. There wasn't inflation. There was actual deflation. Hyper stagflation is what I call it. Stagnation with inflation. Now, we could go after the bankers. We could expose them as the criminals. And that's what I keep pointing out. Bypass the Republicans and Democrats. Point out the source of the dictatorship, the source of the fraud, Bernanke, Paulson, Summers, Rubin. That's why you see all the news now just saying Bernanke is God. Bernanke will save you. He's man of the year. He kept you from having a depression. He loves you. Meanwhile, they set the policies and have told the world to go ahead and devalue the dollar. The decision was made in the last three G20 meetings. Here is the Times of London today. I have another London Telegraph article. Also have an AP article on this. Gulf Petro powers to launch currency in latest threat to dollar hegemony. The Arab states of the Gulf region have agreed to launch a single currency modeled on the euro, hoping to blaze a trail towards a Pan-American monetary union, swelling to the ancient borders. And then it goes into one of the Turkish imams, Ottoman Empire. So they want the whole system from Turkey into Afghanistan to have this new currency. The Gulf Monetary Union Pact has come into effect, said Kuwait's finance minister, Mustafa Al Shamali, speaking at the Gulf Cooperation Summit Council at GCC Summit in Kuwait. The move will give the hyper-rich club of oil exporters a petrocurrency of their own, greatly increasing their influence. Folks, that is the end of the dollar, because you got about half the fuel in the world being bought from these guys, a little more than half. And they're saying We're not going to take your stinking dollars. You got to transfer your euros, your dollars, whatever the case is, into our petrodollar. And the dollar's been the petrodollar. That's it. I'm going to cover this more coming up in the next segment before Nigel Farage joins us from England. But I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up. Ted, this is it. This is the end of the dollar, guaranteed. They're launching it. This is the end. There may be some big currency wars. Some type of North American currency may come roaring back later. That's how they'll sell it. But regardless, for the average American, you think you're in bad financial straits, it will get at least twice as bad now because of this, and this will start hitting in the next 12 months. Ted Anderson.
Yeah, I was looking at the same article this morning, Alex, and they say it right here. It says the U.S. dollar has failed, and we need to delink ourselves from the U.S. dollar. That's why the Arabs are trying to get away from it. The
and they're saying you got to buy oil from us in this. So that's the end of the dollar. This is it. It's
it
over.
Really is. It was the last reason why countries like China had to have U.S. dollars as reserves because they needed to use it to buy energy.
But and meanwhile, everybody's hearing about how great Bernanke is, how evil Tiger Woods is, and we're hearing about Obama's wife's latest dress. Because, Ted, that's what really matters. You know, will the Cowboys win next Sunday, Ted? Not the total destruction of our future, Ted.
No, you're right about that, Alex. And gold is running up today. It went up to 1140, and it's been a strong market in gold. And here we are back on that bandwagon again.
As you said a week ago when it plunged, and Bob Chapman and others had predicted the correction, that it would go down maybe 100, maybe more, and then surge right back up in the new year, go past it. And to explain it, people had positions. They were dumping it and profit-taking. They'd been short gold. A bunch of central banks went in to try to drive it down. But it's like a beach ball. They can only hold it down so long, and the longer they hold it down, the more explosively it comes up.
You're right about that, and that's what's going on right now. The dollar is taking a hit again today. There was a lot of propping up of the dollar that occurred here in the last week and a half. Gold did take a dive down to about 1116. It's jumping right back up again. The market is becoming bullish. I mean, I had a great opportunity to accumulate things at lower prices. I think we should talk about that.
Yeah, folks, get your pens and paper ready so you can check these deals for yourself and see how good they are quickly. I'm going to get more into this article or group of articles as they dump the dollar, as the dollar dies as the world reserve currency, and the yuppies have no idea what's even happening. They're just sucking their thumbs.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance at bliss, another kiss, another kiss.
We're going live at PrisonPlanet.tv at the start of the next segment. Ted Anderson, fire out the gold and silver you've got. Did you have any left from the really low price from a month or so ago when gold made its dip? Or is the new lower prices you've got from the latest dip, despite the fact that, I don't know, gold's up 30-something bucks the last 2 days?
When gold shot it up to $1,240 an ounce, we pretty well sold out of that stuff that we had down there at that 1,050 range. Right now, I'm working at about 1,116, which obviously is a good buy when we're looking at $1,140 an ounce today. Francs right now are at 260. They were just up to 266 here just a short time ago. I was able to drop the price accordingly because of that. The British sovereigns right now at 322 are going to cost closer to 328. The Montana silver coin, people are starting to take a look at those. It's the Montana people trying to set up their own currency. I don't blame them for doing it. Right now, they're at $20.99. They just came up off of that $22 level, and the Lakota coin right now is at $23.19, and everybody knows that one went up over $25. So there's a lot of things that are going on right now in the marketplace. I was able to buy in here. I'm guessing that we'll be back up over that $1,200 an ounce, just like Bob Chapman had said it would. I mean, we're watching the dollar right now. And like you said, oil separating from the U.S. dollar means that there's going to be a tremendous weakness in the dollar because there's a lot of countries that are sitting on reserves, and they're going to be needing to sell to get out onto another currency in order to buy this energy now.
Absolutely, Ted. I mean, I just hope that people do get involved in gold and silver, because there's not much more you can do to defend yourself against the bankers and how they've purposefully set up the fall of the dollar. Again, they ran the dollar up. They printed tens of trillions of it and issued it, issued debt on its back on the taxpayers. Now they're announcing that they're just going to devalue it. And then on top of the devaluation, that Americans are going to have a value-added tax and a sales tax. And they're having all the fake conservatives and neocons and fake libertarians like Beck and O'Reilly say that it's conservative to have tax hikes, instead of just saying, no, the government tripled under Bush, quadrupled the first year under Obama. We need to reduce the size of government. No, instead, they're just going to basically hold you by your ankles and shake every dime out of your pocket. And now is the time to get into gold and silver. Ted, throw out the offer. Tell folks the gold and silver that you've got and just how good a deal it is, because I've seen the numbers.
Yeah, the francs currently right now are at 260. British sovereigns at 322. Montana silver coins, I mean, I'm looking at $18 silver now. It's poking into that level. That's going to be back up there at that $22 level instead of $20.99. Lakotas are going to be going up too. I mean, everything that I have, I've accumulated lately at that $1,116 level. What do you do? I mean, I run out of inventory, and now I'm going to have to buy in closer to 240 or 1140. And, you know, we're looking at $1,200. I just need to tell you right now, there's just too many things that are happening. The dollar is going to be in trouble. And I think you should call 1-800-686-2237. Get involved in this market, man. If you've been sitting on the sideline because you think gold was too high at that $1,200 level, right now you're getting that opportunity to buy it at about $100 less. And I have to tell you, I think it's a great time to be doing it. And you should be doing it before we hit the new year here, because like you say, the Christmas time happens to be a lull for gold historically. January happens to be a time where it all bounces back up again. And I have no expectation that it's going to go the other direction. Not at this point, not with what's going on in the global economy.
800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted buys it when it's low, sells it for low when it's high. That's his free market system. It's like getting in a time machine and going back and buying gold when it was less. Same thing with silver. 800-686-2237. And it's key to tell them it's the Alex Jones, Ted Anderson radio special, or you will be paying the higher price, which is also a discounted great deal. But to get the lower price, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Take action today or check out MidasResources.com. Ted, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. We're going to go to break, come back, and the last 2.5 hours of the radio show, we're going to simulcast in living color via television at PrisonPlanet.tv. Nigel Farage is joining us from the United Kingdom straight ahead, an outspoken critic of EU tyranny. Stay with us.
Of the Irish saying no to the Lisbon Treaty, you had rammed that treaty through the British Parliament, and you've done it breaking a specific... You see, I said you were popular. You did it breaking a specific Mesto pledge that you would give the British people a referendum on the constitutional treaty. Shame on you, Prime Minister, for doing that. You have devalued democracy in our country. You have devalued the trust that voters have got in you as a British Prime Minister. But of course, we know the reason why. The reason why is that we would have voted no.
Yes.
You said in your speech that none but those on the extremes oppose European Union. Well, that may be right amongst professional career politicians, but a clear majority of the British people want us to have friendship and free trade with the European Union, but do not want to be members of this political union. You cannot continue against public opinion to build this European Union. If you do it against the will of the people, you are storing up enormous social and political problems for the future. Please, please, let the peoples of Europe decide their destiny. Don't have it done in parliaments like this and parliaments like Westminster. It won't work. And as far as the economy is concerned, you've told us that somehow you're the economic guru. You're the man that can save the world. Well, I remember very well your first big act as Chancellor when you sold 400 metric tons of gold on the world's exchanges at $275 an ounce. At today's valuation, that would be $10 billion higher. But it isn't just the fact you got it wrong, because we can all get it wrong. It was the fact that you announced in advance how much you were going to sell and on what day you were going to sell it. It was an error so basic that the average A-level economics student, even in these educationally devalued times, wouldn't have done. To add to that, you've destroyed our private pension system. You took away from the Bank of England its ability to regulate the banks and gave it to the tick-box bureaucrats at the FSA in Canary Wharf. And we haven't heard an apology. Your government has apologised for the Amritsar massacre. You've apologised for slavery. You've apologised for virtually everything. Will you please apologise for what you did as British Chancellor? And then perhaps we might just listen to you. Thank you.
Für die Fraktions.
Find out more about it.
Well, that's Nigel Farage, member of the European Union Parliament from England, also the head of the UK Independence Party, one of the fastest growing parties in the UK. He just resigned from that position so he can run against someone in higher office. He'll explain to us all the intricacies of that. But we're very, very excited to have Mr. Farage on with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
The website is ukip.org, or UK Independence Party. For Americans that don't know who you are, a lot of folks know who Lord Monckton is and others, and you have a lot of fans here as well for standing up against EU corruption and tyranny. In a nutshell, tell us about yourself, about the UK Independence Party, and why you've resigned as the head of your party to intensify the fight.
I was in business. I left school. I went straight into the city of London, and I was going about a fairly normal life. You know, I played four handicap golf. I went to the local pub on Sunday lunchtimes. I had children growing up at school. I was running a business in the city. And to all intents and purposes, I wasn't involved in politics on a day-to-day basis at all. But in the early 1990s, I saw a disastrous attempt by the British government, with no opposition at all, to peg the level of sterling against the Deutschmark. It was called the exchange rate mechanism. And I predicted that it would go badly wrong. And sure enough, it did. And then I realized that this was part of a bigger project, a project that the British political elite were engaged in, along with the elites from the other European countries, and that was to take something that we'd been told was a common market, a European economic community, but actually, surreptitiously, and without ever telling the truth or giving anyone a say, to turn that into a political union. And the day I realized that whether it was Labour or Conservative, it made no difference because their high commands were all sold by this idea of a new supranational form of European government, I thought I can't live with this anymore. I thought I've got to get involved in politics, and so I did. And so about 12 of us sat in a room in the early mid-1990s, and we formed the UK Independence Party. And our battle is, you know, we want to be friends with our European neighbours. We want to trade with them. We want to cooperate with them. We're quite happy for people from Paris to work in London and vice versa. What we don't want is for the situation we have whereby 75% of our laws that are made every year are made in foreign institutions. And so through the 90s, this became kind of a crusade for me, I guess. And in the end, I was elected to the European Parliament in 1999. We were still then a very small party. But the things that we've been saying are now really hitting home with the British public. And in the European elections this year in June, UKIP, UK Independence Party, came second across the entire United Kingdom. So that's, you know, a fantastic rate of progress. We've got the British public with us. We're educating them. They're coming on side with our point of view. Difficulty is, I find myself now leading the opposition group in the European Parliament. I've got 33 MEPs from several different countries who've got the same opinion. So I am the voice of opposition inside this European Parliament. But I was also having to run UKIP in the United Kingdom as well. And given that we've got a general election coming up in about 6 months' time, the prospect of running a group here and of leading a campaign with 550 candidates for the national parliament, you know, the party's outgrown one man doing it. So I've stood down as leader of the national party. I'm staying on for the moment as leader of the group in the parliament. And I'm breaking with what's supposed to be a convention. And that is that the Speaker of the House of Commons, and any of you that watch Prime Minister's Question Time, you know, the great Punch and Judy show that we have in Westminster once a week, will see there's a guy in the chair who's the Speaker. Well, the new guy we've got, I consider wholly unsuitable. And in previous times, he was always re-elected unopposed. But I'm now taking him on, and I'm fighting him for his Westminster seat in the next general election.
So you are boldly taking action, and you've been very successful in business previously, did great in college, had a successful business career. You were forced to go into this, extremely eloquent. You absolutely just have devastated Van Rompuy and Gordon Brown in the European Parliament. The papers in Europe really are singling you out as the leading force, energizing people from across Europe that know that the European Union has become dictatorial. If nations vote to get out of it, they just expand it. They've lied in England. For those that don't know, please enlighten our audience. Saying that the British people would get to vote on whether or not they went under EU control, but that's being done by stealth, just like the United States is being brought into the European Union sway through agreements and through the North American Union agreement of the SPP. We have the SPP documents where they talk about this being done by stealth. We have the Club of Rome documents. We have the EU documents. We have Van Rompuy now saying it's a global government. I mean, this really is a group of would-be dictators. And so your fight on the continent against this is so important when we have UK polls of over 80% don't want to be part of the EU, but still England is being sucked by this octopus in. Break this down for us, European Union Member of Parliament Nigel Farage.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening in the European Union is not happening in isolation. We have a political class across the world that are basically aiming for a form of global governance. You know, if you don't believe me, look at what's happening as we speak in Copenhagen. I mean, what's happening there is governments are sitting around a table trying to sign us up to treaties on a very, very questionable concept of global warming caused by CO2 emissions. But if they get these deals, in theory, you know, we're bound for the next 20 or 30 years, and it doesn't matter who we vote for. And my take on this is that the real battle that is going on in the Western world right now, it's a battle of democracy versus bureaucracy. And the bureaucrats and our arrogant politicians at the moment have got the upper hand. But where we're starting to win, we're starting to win with public opinion. And in the end, you know, they can push these things as far as they like, but in the end, public opinion will tear all of this down. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better. And I'm doing this, and I'm saying these things, and yes, I'm being singled out by the European media, because there's virtually nobody else in elected politics from Britain that has actually got the courage to stand up and say it. And, you know, people sidle up to me in lifts and in restaurants, you know, fellow MEPs and MPs, and say, oh, well, Nigel, you know, we're very pleased that you've got the courage to stand up and say these things because we agree with you. Well, they might agree with us, but they're not saying it. So I'm going to go on fighting these people, and I believe that I'm going to go on winning the battle for public opinion, not just in Britain, but right across Europe too. And I hope act as a bit of a warning to you guys in the States as well, that this same phenomenon may well be starting to engulf you.
Oh, it absolutely is. 2 years ago, Judicial Watch, a public interest law firm, sued and got all this because they wouldn't release it through Fourier, but they finally did. And Bush in 2005 signed a treaty saying we're already part of an American union with this private corporate board running things, but our national media will not talk about it. No. It's kind of like in 2007, the European Union celebrated 50 years. But I thought it wasn't founded till 2000. So you have this European Union by stealth through an economic agreement, and then now they admit it's a union, and the same thing's happening here. But you spoke about a huge awakening taking place. You spoke about the fact that if we just point out what illegitimate tyrants these people are, that they will fall. And you talk about people thanking you as if you can go out and do it alone. We have the moral high ground. We have the law on our side. We have history on our side. The problem is the bureaucracy has all the big banks and the big money that want to set up their own private global corporate government behind them. So speak specifically to the state of the world from your in-depth position as a key member of the European Union Parliament from England, and tie that into Copenhagen and the open announcements by Al Gore, Gordon Brown, Herman Van Rompuy, and all of them openly saying this is world government through this environmentalist tyranny.
Yeah, I mean, what they do, of course, and it's a well-established technique, they try and use any crisis. Now, whether it's a real crisis or whether it's a crisis of their invention, they use the crisis to extend the argument for a loss of democracy, a loss of freedom of the individual, and the increase in global governance. And I can think of two very good examples of this. The first, of course, is the so-called war on terror. That, you know, we face a threat from Al-Qaeda or whoever else it may be, and because of this, we have to give the state more power over our lives, and a lot of the judicial safeguards that we've enjoyed in Britain are now being thrown out of the window in the name on, you know, the war on terror.
And they're being used against non-terrorists.
And they're being used, well, of course, I mean, this is what happens, isn't it? You know, this is what happens, is that once governments, once police forces, once they have these extra powers, they, of course, then use them in any way that they see fit. And I'm afraid that the result of this now 9-year nearly war on terror is that our loss of individual freedoms right across the Western world is simply enormous. It's as if the terrorists have won because our own politicians have used this as an excuse to get more power. Similarly, the same phenomenon is happening with global warming. And I mean, Al Gore, I mean, you know, God help us. I mean, here's a man who lost the presidential election, who has now gone on to make many millions himself. And this shouldn't be forgotten, you know. He's made many millions himself out of this scaremongering, frankly. Absolute scaremongering over whether CO2 emissions, as he says, are inexorably leading to temperatures going up. Now, of course, the fact that we know the temperatures have not gone up, they've actually now gone down since 1998 or 2002, depending where you set the bar, is irrelevant. But
they've changed it to weather changes, climate. Any change is unnatural.
Well, that's right. And you know, they were hooked on global warming. They say global warming less now because it's cooling. But, you know, any time there's a hurricane, any time there's a flood, any time anything happens, we're told, this is because of CO2 emissions. And we have the amazing situation with Copenhagen where, you know, we may or may not be signing up for some new ridiculous deal over the next few weeks. And, I mean, just give an example of how mad this is. We've just seen Britain's oldest steelworks up at a place called Middlesbrough in the northeast of England. That steelworks announced last week that it's closing down. In doing so, the parent company, an Indian firm called Tata, will be given £600 million worth of carbon credits, right, for closing down that plant. And then what will happen is all of that production will shift across to India, who, of course, have no intention of listening to any of this stuff. I mean, in the name of fighting against carbon emissions, we're actually literally exporting jobs from our country to countries like India, which clearly makes no sense at all. And we've got a situation where we're going to be signed up to treaties, which means that we can't change these agreements by how we vote at future elections. Now, the whole principle of democracy, you know, whatever level it's at,
or sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
I mean, sovereignty's is all about not being dominated by some foreign offshore corporation,
well,
British East India Company, or empire. But a member of parliament, a member of European Parliament, I want you to get into this key point here in just a moment. But I don't want to just run over the key fact you just laid out as we go to break here. You just pointed out not only are they paying them hundreds of thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to shut a steel mill down in the UK and jobs. But when they go to India, there'll be zero emissions controls. So even if you believe carbon dioxide is this murderous, toxic waste, chemical weapon, even if you believe that fraud and polar bears can't swim and all the rest of it, and penguins are drowning, the most incredible aquatic birds there are, the ice caps are getting bigger. Even if you believe all that, this will produce more CO2 under the UN's plan, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And you know, the other big response in Europe to this is we are building tens of thousands of these ludicrous windmills, yeah, right across Europe, and we're told this is wonderful, this will be a wonderful source of renewable energy. Now, I'm not against the concept of renewable energy, but I'll tell you this. In Germany, they built 19,000 wind turbines, but not a single coal, oil, or gas-fired power station has closed down, because in the depth of winter, when a big anticyclone sits over northern Europe, not a single one of those 19,000 wind turbines moves around and produces any electricity. Even if cutting carbon emissions was vital to the environment, the way we're going about it is mad, bad, and wrong.
Well, it's absolutely. We're going to break. We'll come back and finish the point I interrupted you on. But it's not a windmill's fine on your house, because you don't have power loss down the lines. I have family that works in different power stations here in Texas. You lose tons of power down line. You have to have incredible power just to get it to places. The power's too low from windmills to let you transfer it and transport it, so you lose most of it. It's very wasteful. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Nigel Farage is a member of the European Union Parliament, hailing from England. And he is now running for the Parliament as well in England. And we've got him for another 35 minutes with us. We really appreciate him joining us. He's a very busy man. Okay, sir, I interrupted you when you were getting onto the point about the fact that this is dictatorial. And then I wanted to ask you, are we beginning to get headway? Are we winning? And being around these European Union members for close to a decade, I mean, they're openly on television saying dictatorial world government. What do they say behind the scenes? Go ahead, Mr. Farage.
Right. Let's just consider what the concept democracy is. Now, there's an old saying, an old Westminster saying, and I'm going back now to the English Civil War in the 17th century, right? And the whole point about electing people to our House of Commons, to our Parliament in Westminster, was that no parliament may bind its successor. All right? Now, that may be old-fashioned English, but what it actually means is there's nothing in a proper democratic parliament, there is nothing that one government or one parliament does that cannot be undone by any successive government or parliament, right? That's why we have elections, for goodness sake. Now, the whole point about European Union, for example, is we currently face a mass of regulations that are going to do severe damage to the City of London, to our financial services sector, where I spent 20 years of my working life. And once those regulations have gone through, it won't matter a damn whether David Cameron becomes the Prime Minister or Gordon Brown gets re-elected, because there's nothing we can do as voters in Britain to change those European laws. So that is an absolute total denial of democracy.
And it turns your parliament into a vestigial, ceremonial dress of the European Union.
Yeah, the whole thing has become a complete charade, because 75% of our laws are made somewhere else, and that's before they got this new European constitutional treaty passed. And now we're told that even in areas like foreign policy, we can't do our own thing. We'll have to do it at a European level. So it is literally, being part of a European Union, this European Union, is the death of democracy. I believe the very same principles apply to these agreements that started back at the time of Kyoto and could be coming out of Copenhagen over the next period of time. Because if we sign up to a series, you know, if Obama signs up and if Britain signs up to a whole set of targets 20, 30 years hence from now, then by definition, you've broken that principle of no parliament may bind its successor. Now, of course, we're always told that, you know, we have to operate together. We have to operate at a European level or a global level to deal with the CO2 crisis or the war on terror or whatever else it may be. But that is a complete denial of democracy. And I've been fighting and making these points. And during the last few years, we've had the French in a referendum say no. We've had the Dutch in a referendum say no. We've had the Irish in a referendum say no. The British, of course, who were promised referendums all the way through, have just been denied them. But as I start to make these arguments, I can see the fear in the eyes of the leaders of this European Union project. I sit on the front bench of this parliament. I'm literally within feet of these people that are doing this to our democracy. And I can see the fear in their eyes when I make these arguments, because they know what I'm saying is right. And their response to me has been truly extraordinary. And there are clips that you could find on the EU Parliament website. I've been called mentally ill because of what I stand for, which, of course, is very reminiscent, isn't it? Of what
well, they've said you're a naked monkey up in a tree, and then when you try to defend yourself, you're told you can't name call. So it's like some Kafka-esque Soviet apparatchik court where it's la-la land. They can call you names, but you can't have free speech. You can't criticize the EU, but they can call you a naked monkey. By the way, that clip is coming up. Stay there. Nigel Farage is our guest.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Nigel Farage is our guest, UK member of the European Union Parliament, the leader of opposition to the New World Order in government in Europe. This is the man who is eloquently every week standing up to these people. Now they just turn his mic off, call him names, and then don't let him respond. The United Nations all over Copenhagen has their armed police on the streets declaring it a UN zone. At accredited press events, if you ask Al Gore or the IPCC head about ClimateGate, you are drug out at gunpoint. I mean, these are authoritarians. These are the children of Joe Stalin, of Mao Zedong, of Adolf Hitler. And when I say that, I mean it. I've watched them. They want control, and they want to squash all dissent. Nigel Farage, you've been around them for 9 years with these vipers. How would you describe them?
They are truly dreadful people. I don't by that mean I disagree with their point of view. They are truly dreadful people. They will stop at nothing to get their goal. I remember a nice little anecdote. On the night of the Dutch referendum a few years ago on the EU Constitution, and the result came out and two-thirds of the Dutch had said, no, we don't want this. And I was with about 50 skeptics in the European Parliament, in the members' bar, having a bit of a party, celebrating what I hoped would be the triumph of democracy over bureaucracy. And at that moment, a German MEP, a guy called Mr. Leinen, walked past me. And he'd been one of the authors of this constitution. And I said to him, oh, Joe, I said, do you want to join us for a drink to celebrate democracy in the Netherlands? And he looked at me. He said, no, I won't accept your drink. He said, and anyway, you enjoy your little victory tonight. He said, we have 50 different ways to win. And it was chilling because it just about summed it up. There is literally nothing that will stop these people from achieving their goal. They are fanatics. You know, we got rid of Mussolini and Hitler. We got rid of what was seen to be those extreme nationalisms. Well, we've got a new one now, and it's called the European Union, and it's every bit as dangerous as those things that went before.
I was reading the Treaty of Rome, 1957, that really established the EU, and it states that by stealth, and they talk about, oh, we've learned from Napoleon and Hitler not to do this militarily. We're going to do this via bureaucracy and taxation and creeping. This is a premeditated system funded by mega rich that want monopolies, using communists as their henchmen who just want a piece of the middle class's pie. I mean, this is a truly piratical group, from my study, who know they're criminal. I mean, this is a very wicked group. How many of them are just true acolytes who believe in collectivism, and how many of them are true pirates?
Well, that's always a tough one to answer, but I can I can tell you. I mean, you know, we've had for the last 5 years one of the European commissioners, a man from Hungary, Mr. Kovacs, who was for many, many years the right-hand man of the dictator, Mr. Kadar, in Hungary, a fully paid-up member of the Soviet Communist Party. He's been an EU commissioner for the last 5 years. Directly for the Soviets before the wall came
down. Sir, can you start over? Something cut out your phone line. Go back to the communist commissars now in the EU.
Yeah, of the 27 EU commissioners that we have now, and these are the people with the real power in Europe, they're not elected, they're appointed, but these are the people who have the sole right to propose legislation that is effective in all our countries. Six of those work directly for the Soviet communist regime before the wall came down. And that isn't going to improve particularly, because we've got Mr. Van Rompuy, who's going to take over as the European president. But the new foreign minister that's taking over is a lady called Baroness Ashton from Britain. And from 1980 to 82, she was the treasurer of the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament in Britain, a campaign that wanted us to unilaterally disarm, and an organization that was directly in receipt of funds from the Communist Party of Great Britain.
Stay
these
there.
Are the people.
These Stay
are
there,
the people
Nigel Farage, a member of Parliament. We have that clip of where you confront them coming up. We'll go right back to
this morning. I thought this was going to be a big, proud moment. I mean, it's taken you 8.5 years of bullying, of lying, of ignoring democratic referendums. 8.5 years it's taken you to get this treaty through, and on the 1st of December, you will have it. And, of course, the architect of all of this, Giscard, wanted from this constitutional treaty for the European Union to have a big global voice. But I'm afraid the leaders have suffered from a collective loss of nerve. They've decided that they want their faces to be up on the global stage, not somebody from the European Union, and so we've got appointed a couple of political pygmies. The Kissinger question of who to call in Europe hasn't really been answered, has it? I guess the answer can only be Mr. Barroso, because he's the only one that anybody in the world has ever heard of and is probably the big winner out of these posts. No wonder, sir, you look so happy this morning. And we have a new president of Europe, Herman Van Rompuy. Doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, does it? I can't see him stopping the traffic in Beijing or Washington. I doubt anybody in Brussels would even recognise who he is. And yet, he's going to be paid a salary that is bigger than Obama's, which tells you all you need to know about this European political class and how they look after themselves. But at least he's an elected politician, unlike Baroness Cathy Ashton, who really is the true representation of the modern-day political class. In some ways, she's ideal, isn't she? She's never had a proper job, and she's never been elected to anything in her life. So I guess she's perfect for this European Union.
Excuse me, Mr. Farage.
Yes.
I would like to put down your postages. You made your presentation
right, okay.
Is
yes,
enough
calm
for
down,
us.
Chaps.
Okay.
Calm down, chaps.
Please continue.
Can't know. But, I mean, she's never been elected to anything, and no one knows who she is. Even the Prime Minister was talking about Baroness Ashdown as opposed to Ashton. I mean, no one has ever heard of her. She's even less well-known than Herman Van Rompuy. I mean, that takes some doing, doesn't it? She's risen without trace. She's part of this post-democratic age. She married well. She married an advisor and a friend and supporter of Tony Blair and got put in the House of Lords. When she was in the House of Lords, she was given one big job, and the job was to get the Lisbon Treaty through the House of Lords and to do so pretending that it was entirely different to the EU Constitution. So she's good at keeping a straight face, and she vigorously crushed any attempt in the House of Lords for the British people to
there
have
you go. He's about 5 feet from her, telling her to her face. Then the current head, the sitting chair of the EU, shuts him down, tells him to shut up, and then turns his mic off and cuts to the head of the Poland delegation to call him a bare-butted monkey And then they tell him, you're not allowed to call names, which he's not doing. He's exposing their fraud. But then we're allowed to call you names. European Union Member of Parliament from the UK, or UEP, Nigel Farage is our guest. Thank you so much for being on with us, sir. Tell us about that little exchange, because it continues on for some time. It's up on the UK Independence Party website, ukip.org, if folks want to see the full 30 minutes of it.
It's a classic exchange. I mean, okay, you know, my tone may be somewhat cutting or biting or sarcastic, but I didn't say anything that wasn't 100% true, and I didn't use language that was abusive or wrong or foul. I merely pointed out that Mr. Von Rompuy was a bureaucrat and that Baroness Ashton had had these very worrying links, in my opinion, with the campaign for nuclear disarmament, which was being funded by the Soviets. And for that, I was told by the President of the European Parliament that what I'd said was unacceptable, that it simply wasn't right that I should behave in this way. And whilst I was speaking, I was being jeered and barracked and abused. I mean, that always happens now, every time I get up to speak.
Yeah, we can hear lots of chanting, but we can't make it out. I mean, were they just hissing and cussing, or...?
Yeah, they shout and they scream and all the rest of it. But, I mean, I guess all that you know, what you really get from the microphone is me. But, no, they're always very abusive towards me. But it's perfectly okay for them to say that I'm mentally ill. It's perfectly okay for them to call me a monkey. It's fine for them to say that if people support Mr. Farage, it will open the door to fascism. I mean, they can, you know, there is no term of abuse that these people will not sink to battle against those of us that are arguing for democracy and are arguing for people to have their own voice and to say what they want to say. And in fact, after that exchange, I was called up to meet the President of the Parliament at 5 o'clock that night. And it reminded me of being in trouble at school and having to go and see the headmaster, you know, and you wait outside the study. And I went in and I said, there's nothing I said or did here that could be deemed to be unparliamentary or wrong in any way at all, was there, Mr. President? And he said, well, you called them pygmies. And I had trouble not laughing and wetting myself. I said, but surely, you know, to call people pygmies, I mean, I said, they're not exactly giants, are they? I said, in future, I'll call them Lilliputians if that makes you happy. You know, when it came to it, there was nothing they could say. I am not abusive. I am not foul-mouthed. I am not rude. And I am 100% factual. And it reminds me, Alex, of a time 5 years ago when I revealed to the Parliament that the French commissioner had, in fact, been convicted of embezzlement in the year 2000. Yeah? And I revealed this to the Parliament. Well, it was like a hand grenade had gone off. They all stood up and they abused me, and point of order after point of order was made. The Parliament was told, wasn't it terrible that Mr. Farage had behaved like this? Somebody else said I'd behaved like a football hooligan, which I took real exception to. I was told by the then President of the Parliament that I should withdraw my statement so that it could be expunged from the record or face the full legal ramifications of what I'd just done. I mean, and of course, nothing happened because it was entirely true. The bloke had been convicted of embezzlement. But this is what you're up against here. You know, continually, they throw the abuse at us and we fight back with fact. And
okay, European Union Member of Parliament from the UK, Nigel Farage, is our guest. I want to skip ahead in the 30 minutes that this went on to just one of the people on mic where he's telling you you're not allowed to criticize them, but then he doesn't tell her she's wrong for calling you a monkey. The taller you climb up the tree, the more your butt is exposed. Here is the clip from the Commissar from Poland. Here it is.
Save their integrity, personal integrity. And Mr. Farage, I'd like to say something Hungarian quotation for you. It's good that you are here, because if the monkey goes up to the tree, it's better seen how red is his popo.
Well, what can you say? They can call me what they like. I don't care. They can call me what they like. You know, if they think they're really helping their cause by just throwing continual abuse at me, they're wrong. They're doing it because they're frightened. And what they're frightened of is that the majority of people in Britain and France and Germany and right across Europe, the vast majority of them, want to live in democratic nation states. They do not want this.
Absolutely. I mean, the statements you're making, I mean, you're clearly in the right. All of us for liberty and sovereignty and true free republics, representative democracy, we're in the right. They're in the wrong. And for decades, when we would try to cover the plan for the European Union to go global, when we would read official UN documents calling for global government, global governance, the media would call us kooks and nuts, trying to keep people from having a real debate. But now that their system's out in the open, it's actually backfired on them because hundreds of millions of people have learned about the New World Order, were told it didn't exist. Now they're admitting it exists, but saying it's good. And you talk about the fear in their eyes. I'm seeing that here. And they beg us. They go, please don't talk about how we're tyrants. Please don't talk about how we're undemocratic. Please don't talk about how we're robbing people and want socialism. Please, 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 because people will think you're a kook. No, they're begging us not to stand up against them. Your comments on that?
Well, we've got to stand up and fight. There's a fantastic quotation from a guy called Burke, who was an English philosopher. And he wrote, and again, it's 17th century stuff, but often these old principles remain good. And he wrote that all it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And I would put it to you, Alex, and I would put it to your audience, that what is actually happening in terms of democracy and sovereignty around the Western world is nothing short of evil. And it's our duty to stand up and fight for this. Do you know, those that went before us in previous generations, you know, they had to fight it out in muddy trenches in northern France, and in many cases give up their lives to have democracy, freedom, and self-respect. What we're being called upon to do is nothing like as irksome or as difficult as that, but we have to stand up and do it, and I'm pleased to say that increasingly, on this side of the pond, people are beginning to do so.
Well, I don't want to take away from World War II veterans and people, amazing folks, but I've read a lot of psychology perspective on this, and sometimes it's harder to morally stand up against a political system when the political system is advertising itself as the only orthodoxy. Sometimes moral courage is harder than when you know people are shooting at you and everybody's on your side, and they're on their side and you're fighting. That's a lot cleaner and more focused, and you know what you're dealing with. Dealing with the duplicity of, you know, as you said, this German member of the EU said, look, we'll just beat you 50 underhanded ways. You know, I mean, it's the fact that it's a covert operation that we're countering. And so what can people do in the UK? Because you talked about your party just exploding. How do folks get behind the UK Independence Party? How do people, from your own perspective, become leaders against the New World Order, against this global group of tyrants who are networked on a planetary scale? From your experience, what can people do in Texas and in England and in Germany and all over the world?
Well, at the end of the day, however much our democracies have been devalued, and they have, and however much our freedoms have been taken away from us, which they have, but still, at the end of the day, we do have a system where the people that have the power to commit these things have to be voted in by us, all right? So the ultimate power, short of rioting, you know, and I hope it won't get to that, but the ultimate power that we have over the political class is the ability to get rid of them, is the ability for them to lose their positions. And you know, that's why, okay, it's taken time. These things don't happen overnight. And your point about moral courage being a difficult thing to show, I mean, I accept that, and that is a perfectly good point. But increasingly, what we're finding in England is that people are gaining the confidence and are feeling that they've got to speak out, not just because it's a moral duty, but also because, you know, anyone that's got children and grandchildren can surely see the lessons of history. And the lessons of history are clear. If you force people, as we're doing in Europe, to live in a different state under a different form of government over which they have no effective control, that is a recipe in the future not for peace, but for civil disorder and possibly even for war. So we are beginning to see people showing the courage, breaking out of their normal tribal party political lines, and there'll come a point where UKIP becomes so big that something will give in our political system. But it's having the willingness to take away from those politicians the one thing they need, which is your vote at election time.
Well, that's a great point. And then obviously, every man and woman listening to your voice across the globe, we're on satellite, shortwave, internet, AM and FM stations all over North America, needs to understand that none of us are going to save the world overnight. It's everybody doing a little bit to educate someone, to explain to them about the unelected tyranny of this global corporate system that's been set up, and to understand that, as you pointed out, Mr. Farage, that every generation has to face tyranny. And the tyranny we're facing is cloaked in respectability, cloaked in Madison Avenue public relations propaganda, but is even more deadly than some of the past corruptions that we've dealt with, and that people had better get moving against this now.
Yes, they've got to get mobilized. And your point is right, that really successful revolutions happen, and real momentum happens by many tens of thousands of little things happening. And, you know, it's people talking to each other at the golf club or in the local bar or wherever they go and meet people, or, you know, over Sunday lunch with the family. It's lots of little conversations that develop momentum and make a real difference. And I'm absolutely convinced of that. I'm also convinced that across the Western world, there has never been less confidence in our traditional career politicians. So I think the mood is ripe for it. And I think that people are beginning to realize that this stuff is now affecting them directly. I mean, look, whatever they sign up to in Copenhagen next week affects every man and woman in England and in the USA, because what they're going to do is they're going to tax us more and continue to export our jobs to India and places like that. So I think this stuff is beginning to hit home. I think it's why we're beginning to win the argument. But, I mean, hey, there's no room for complacency. We've got a long, long way to go yet.
Absolutely. They can't win unless we just sit down and shut up, because they always create the crisis or use a crisis to get more power. The crisis gets worse, then they use that to get more power. If we just point out that they are the main progenitors of our deindustrialization, the dependency, the welfare, the open borders, all the problems, there's no way they can stand if we just stand up like the little boy saying the emperor is wearing no clothes. In closing, in the last 5-6 minutes we have left, and we're very appreciative in your busy schedule, sir, specifically with the Copenhagen Greenhouse Gas Initiative, it looks like this agreement's falling through, but they will agree to meet again in Mexico City. And Obama has said, I don't care if Senate won't ratify, I'm going to implement through the bureaucracy. Same thing Gordon Brown and Tony Blair have done with EU expansion. How do you counter the lawlessness of the bureaucracies, of the prime ministers, of the presidents, and their bureaucracies, who don't care even when the elected bodies do the right thing?
I'm afraid, I remember very well when Obama was elected, and it was seen in England like the second coming of the Lord. You know, all the media, wasn't it wonderful? And I was on a big TV show, and I was asked my opinion. And I said I was very concerned about many of the things that Obama stood for, and I was somewhat vilified at the time for that. But I think Obama's response to Copenhagen, I think Obama's attitude, you know, towards your own parliamentary bodies is quite extraordinary. And I think this marks Obama out to be, frankly, and I don't come on this show to offend Americans, but I honestly think that Obama is a very dangerous man who doesn't really, truly believe in democracy. And I would have thought that if this is how he's going to behave as American president, then it is your duty as Americans, if you believe in democracy, and if you believe, as I believe, in the principle that, you know, no parliament may bind its successor, and that the job of parliaments is to hold the executive, in your case the president, to account, then you've got to jolly well make sure that he doesn't get re-elected for a second term. It's just as simple as that.
Absolutely. In the 3.5 minutes we've got left, sir, I just want to encourage people to go to ukip.org, ukindependenceparty.org, and learn a lot more. And certainly set up our own sovereignty groups outside of the Republicans, because just as Mr. Farage talks about, both the big parties, Labor and Tories, being controlled over in England, our two parties are controlled. Obviously, things are moving quicker right now under Obama than they would have under a Republican administration. But regardless, it's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Everybody needs to mobilize, as Lord Monckton's talked about, a worldwide freedom party in every nation saying we want sovereignty, we want free market, we don't want to be run by a bunch of bureaucrats. In closing, sir, any other points you'd like to make, any other information you'd like to relay about EU expansion? One question I had, I saw press reports about multiple nations are threatening to pull out of the EU. So the EU is collapsing even as it tyrannically expands its Lebensraum.
Yeah, I mean, just at the very point where they get their constitutional treaty through, where they get their president, where they get their foreign minister, where they get total power over the member states, even at this very point, it's becoming clear that the electorates of the member states don't want it. It's becoming clear that countries like Greece and Ireland, which mistakenly joined the monetary system and took the euro as their currency, now find themselves in an impossible position and with nothing to do. And I would just say this. You know, if you look through history, there is no example of any free people willingly giving up the right to govern itself. And yet what has happened to us in England is we have been betrayed by Labour and Conservative politicians successively over the last 40 years to the point where our Parliament has become nothing more than a charade. And I will go on fighting and I will go on standing up because I believe that the best people to govern Britain are the British people themselves, and I want my four kids to grow up in a country that they can call their own. And I believe this is a great historic battle, and we are going to win this battle.
Well, sir, obviously you're all over radio and TV in the UK. You don't need much of our help, but we do have a large internet audience and satellite audience in the UK. Specifically, there's a lot of folks probably never got involved in politics, but they're now. How can people help you get elected to the UK Parliament?
If they want to help me in any way they can, go to ukip.org, go to our website, register with us, and say to yourself that you're going to give a little bit, just a little bit, of your time and money to fight to get the independence, the sovereignty, the self-respect and pride of the United Kingdom back. As I said earlier, the sacrifice I'm asking you to make is as nothing compared with that your grandfathers and great-grandfathers had to make in two world wars. We're doing this because it's right. We're doing this because we've been led up the garden path and totally betrayed by our politicians. This is the fight back. Mm-hmm. It's real. It's happening. Get on board.
Well, it was Cicero who said that, to paraphrase, the enemy that comes to your gate openly with their banners is not the real threat. It's the traitor within who knows your language, who knows your customs. And so, again, whereas machine guns firing at our ancestors was you know, a terrible thing and they were very noble to fight, it's this creeping death that's so hard to deal with. I think people should give a lot, because if we allow this scientific dictatorship, as the UN calls itself in many of its documents, to continue to grow and put its police state grid in, they know people are going to revolt and resist. They're racing to get their system in place to oppress the people. And thanks to leaders like yourself, Nigel Farage, the UK member of the EU Parliament, we have a fighting chance, because we know you there in Airstrip 1 are on the front lines against Europe, who is setting up this planetary world government, this dictatorship. So again, ukip.org. Let me say bye to you during the break, and we'll let you go, sir. But thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you. Not at all.
Extremely powerful. ukip.org. Get behind this fight, as we're allied against the New World Order. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Why the unions have big business men, and they're going out like a dinosaur. Why they used to grow food in Kansas, now they want to grow it on the moon and eat it raw.
Okay, I know we have John, Cynthia, Roger, John, and others, 1-800-259-9231. Oh, and I forgot to add, Alan Watt of Cutting Through the Matrix is going to be joining us in the next hour. We're going to set him up for a full 2 hours early in the new year. I'm a little tripped out right now, to use the 80s term. I'm tripping, as the guys would say, over a big national TV host says they're coming. I talked to him yesterday, talked to their producer, coming here to interview me face to face. having a lot of globalists come through the office lately, and they have finally recognized that I am creeping through Mordor with the ring towards, well, through Cirith Ungol and towards Mount Doom itself. I've always enjoyed, I've never really liked being on national TV or never liked really having them figure it out. I mean, I know their operatives already know it, their assessors know it, but the we're actually getting the attention of all the old men and the old globalists now. They're like, I want you to go find that boy's Achilles heel and destroy him. But it doesn't work anymore. When the national media attacks me, no matter how bad it is, people know the media is a bunch of lying, corrupt thugs, and so it'll be good. But they can't help it. They don't understand. They're like shooting a gun at me that's empty. They're like, die, 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 pulling the trigger, and it's not working. I'm going, you're out of bullets there. I'd be scared of the national media coming out and saying I was good. If they were really smart, that's how they'd defeat me. They would just come out and say, oh, Alex Jones is good. Oh, yes, and then try to co-opt the message. They're smart. They're doing that with Glenn Beck. They create a clown who for most people comes off as disingenuous and sneaky and like some kind of pervert. I mean, if I look at Glenn Beck, that's what he comes off as. Like, if I had a neighbor like that, I tell my kids, hey, when you're playing in people's front yards, if he's in the garage working on his car, don't go. That's creepy. That neighbor's creepy. I don't want. Well, why, Daddy? He just looks creepy. If he's offering you soda pop, you know. I'm sorry. I'm not saying Glenn Beck's like that. He comes off as. Well, I mean, he's always like. On his show, he's like. Always trying to act non-threatening and sweet, and he's the teacher he's going to show you. And I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, look out for that guy. That's all. I mean, where is your discernment? All right, I'm now digressing, and I have all this news to cover. But see, they don't know how to deal with me because I got all my problems. I'm not perfect. I'm a little bit hickish, a little bit hillbilly-ish, all that, but I'm real. And they don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to deal with somebody they can't buy off, who doesn't really have any skeletons in my closet. What, I eat too much and like beer? Don't even do that anymore? I mean, there's really nothing. And they may manufacture stuff, but I'm not worried. I'll be like, use it. Say whatever you want about me. I'll use the attention to expose you're a bunch of frauds. I mean, I'm so committed. All they can do is plant drugs on me or kill me. And that's not going to work either, because then everybody will go, my gosh, it is for real. And the other good news about all this is that we've reached so many people in the system that a lot of police, a lot of military, a lot of FBI people, a lot of federal marshals, they know we're telling the truth. They heard us talk 10, 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They laughed at us. Now they've seen it all come true, and they're going, okay, I'm listening. Because they're not criminals. They're like the general public. They were kind of mesmerized or eased into corruption incrementally. And now that the corruption's really clear, it's honorable. Now that it's finally clear, they're going, whoa. As long as you turn back and don't consciously be part of evil. If you did some stuff that was bad in the past but didn't know you were being bad, it's not bad. All of us have done stuff that was wrong. I mean, I was like a devil or something when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, man. I mean, I like to get in fights. I like people to start fights with me so I could beat them up. You know, I mean, I did all sorts of, I mean, I wasn't classically, you wouldn't think of it as bad. I think of it as bad today. I mean, you know, I liked women quite a bit. I mean, you know, that's why I can't sit here and be a hypocrite about other people. I mean, Rush Limbaugh gets caught taking painkillers. He really did have back surgery. That stuff's highly addictive. The medical system knew when they were prescribing synthetic heroin to people that 90%+ of people that took it were going to get addicted. I don't judge Rush Limbaugh because he got addicted to drugs, but I do judge him because he says, put people who are caught with cocaine or heroin in prison the first offense for 10 years. The whole time he was bombed out of his brain. I've talked to people who worked with him in radio. Huge pot smoker. I mean, he sits up there. He likes to drink. He likes marijuana. He likes pills. And then none of that's good, Limbaugh. But I'm not up here judging you. I never had problems with marijuana. I never had problems with pills like you. But I could imagine how that could happen. I don't sit up here on my high horse going, look at Rush Limbaugh. He got caught taking 100 Oxycontins a day. 100. That would kill like 8 horses. He had such a tolerance from eating so many of them over the last decade. My problem with Rush Limbaugh is that he still gets up there and says, throw the key away with people that are caught with illegal drugs. You're taking an over-the-counter drug, a prescription drug, but from behind the prescription counter that you got from a pharmacy that is, the molecule is even more addictive than heroin. And you want to throw a heroin or crackhead in jail, but you don't want to go to jail. See, I'm sick of hypocrisy. And see, I've never been a hypocrite about anything I've done. And I sit here and think about how they're going to come at me, angles they might. And you know what? They're going to build straw men. They're going to make stuff up because that's what they've always done with COINTELPRO. There's nothing they can do to me short of setting me up or killing me. Nothing. There is nothing they can do. Nothing. Any way they cut it, any angle they go at me, it blows up in their face. So they're going to make stuff up. That's the only angle they've got. And they've made so much stuff up about everybody else that no one even believes it. That's what's great about all the COINTELPRO lies about me. One crazier than the last. Always more insane. Always based in lies. Anyway, enough about Alex Jones. It's just to get this phone call, they've been calling me for weeks, finally got a hold of us, and to be talking to a huge national television host who wants to come down here and do a profile on me and to have newspapers in here every other day, big magazines. I mean, they finally are paying attention. And you know, I'm having some gallows humor here. I mean, this is what I've asked for. I wanted to change the world. You've helped me do it. Together with listeners. And now here we are. We're really going to the next level. I asked for it, so I'm ready. I'm ready. It's kind of like a few times when I was growing up and I'd see some big bully beating up some little kid. And the guy'd be, you know, twice my size. And I'd walk up and say, buddy, you better stop doing that. And I knew what I was in for when I did that. I knew this guy was going to turn around and start pounding on me. But I would just go past the fear, step in, punch him undercut in the nose. Their whole nose would just tear off with blood spraying out everywhere. Or maybe they got me down. Maybe they started pounding my head in. You just got a good old boy gut up and roll them over and just start gouging their eyes out. You got to do what it takes. And it's the same thing politically. I came up with the New World Order and I slapped him upside the head and I said, why don't you stop picking on all those kids you CPS and you kidnap? Why don't you stop all that corruption you're doing? They turned around to me, this little bitty guy. And you know what? They smashed me flat in a pancake. The blood that comes out of me, the blood of patriots and tyrants, will only make the Tree of Liberty grow. I just win any way you cut it. The only way to really win in life is to do the right thing, ladies and gentlemen. The only way to truly win in life is to do the right thing. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be happy. Your life is not going to be one-tenth as good as it could be till you start fighting corruption. I mean, the stupid Young Turks show, millions of viewers a week on YouTube, where they play the part of the middle-of-the-road, laughing, joking newscast, did an attack piece on me saying, what's Alex so upset about CPS? What is that? Why is he angry at the CPS? What is that? How could five-year newscasters, been around for 5 years, they have a show on XM Sirius, too. How could they not know what CPS is? How could they think I was a weirdo for getting angry? Knowing that over 1 million kids a year are taken without due process by the Child Protective Services nationwide under a UN program, and that the CPS is 5 times more likely, in Europe it's 7 times, to abuse children than any other group. I mean, do the Young Turks not know about CNN 4 years ago, 3,500 kids missing in Florida, and they found a bunch of them dead that had been in CPS custody? They rape these kids and then kill them? You don't think raping and killing kids is a big deal? No, no, you do think it's a big deal. You just are so ignorant, you don't know what CPS is. And you take a clip out of context of me getting angry about children being abused. What's wrong with you? What type of person doesn't get angry at children being raped by big, fat government pedophiles? What type of person is so screwed up that they don't know this stuff's going on? What type of person doesn't get angry at that? What is your problem? You are the people that are screwed up. You are the people that don't get upset by tyranny. You don't get upset by Bush having secret arrest teams that snatch and grab and torture people, and then now they're putting them on trial after 5, 6, 7, 8 years of torture, depending on the case. That doesn't freak you out? Having tyrannical government doesn't scare you? The only real monsters in this world, folks, outside of man, are things like great white sharks and grizzly bears. And what do they kill? 10, 15, 20 people a year? But you're scared of them. When you're out in the woods in Colorado, you're walking around, you know, and thinking, man, there's grizzly bears around here. Full-grown men are scared of grizzly bears because you're supposed to be. But you're not scared of criminal big government that killed 200 million people in the 20th century conservatively, the number one cause of unnatural death, and you tell me I'm a weirdo because my instincts are tuned up, and I know how dangerous big government is, and I know it's taken over, and I know what it does, and I'm here screaming, telling my fellow Homo sapiens sapiens, I'm like a chimpanzee in a tree, jumping up and down, warning other chimpanzees when I see a big cat coming through the woods. I'm like a bird that sees a cat coming up to eat some of the other birds, and I flap my wings and fly off. I'm the weirdo because I'm sitting in the tree going, I mean, don't you understand anthropology, sociology? Don't you understand that I'm up here going, my God, they're building FEMA camps. They're brainwashing the public. They're training your kids to spy on you. They're launching all these wars. They admit they torture people's kids in front of them to get answers. The police nationwide are using pain compliance, torture, to get answers out of people. Federal courts have ruled they can do it. See, I'm a Homo sapiens sapiens, so I sit here with words warning you. A chimpanzee can't talk, so they just go, you understand that? See, I'm normal. You're not normal. I'm out at a boat dock somewhere, and I see a family swimming around by boat docks, and I see a water moccasin. I go, hey, watch out, there's a snake over here. Am I the weirdo, or are you the weirdo? Somebody that thinks the world's all this funny, happy football and Christmas shopping and everything's cute and everybody acts trendy because the television through the social archetyping tells you the cool guy's stupid and doesn't care and makes jokes at everything, and you imprint on that like a baby duck. I didn't imprint on television and the fake image of a stupid male. They teach everybody, be stupid, be vapid, be shallow, don't be decisive, don't take action, don't rally people, don't get upset. That's what human beings do. That's what men do, you fools, you castrated cowards. But you've been so domesticated, so castrated from birth, set in front of the TV set to rot in your crap-filled diapers, that when you see somebody trying to be a man, trying, doesn't mean I got all the answers, doesn't mean I'm perfect, but trying to be a man, trying to be a warrior for humanity, you get shocked by that. You should look in the mirror and be shocked by what you are. I'm done talking to you, scum. And you are. You're scum. And we're all once scum in our lives till we get woken up and take action. I was once dumb as dirt. You don't have to be dumb as dirt. You don't have to think tyranny's cute and funny. I'm going to come back, Jim, a few calls, and then Alan Watts coming up, and we'll go over all the news with him. Yeah, I shouldn't get upset about the Arabs announcing they're fully dumping the dollar. Oh, you'll be upset when your standard of living falls, jackass. See, I get upset about real things. I don't care if the Cowboys lose. I do care about the dollar dying. Whose head screwed on straight? Mine or yours? I want to tell you about a sponsor, eFoods Direct. We don't have to remind you that you need food to survive. Our biggest sponsor, eFoods Direct, is the longest continually operating durable foods company in the country. They also happen to be true patriots and have supported the freedom movement for years and years. With the looming food shortages and the current economy, it is imperative that you make sure you and your family are prepared with non-GMO, good, clean, storable foods. Give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. That's 1-800-409-5633. Or visit them on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com. Big banners up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com. EcuadorCentral.com believes we can all have a duty to protect our families and our wealth. If you're considering a new life somewhere else, want a second home outside the U.S., or if you want to invest in a growing economy, EcuadorCentral.com can help you. Ecuador is a country with friendly people, good food, and great water all year round where you can live better for a lot less. Just visit EcuadorCentral.com, spelled EcuadorCentral.com. At EcuadorCentral.com, you will find properties for sale or rent, as well as free information that will help you get started now. So check it out at www.EcuadorCentral.com. That's EcuadorCentral.com. EcuadorCentral.com. Ecuador is ECUADOR Central.com. And last but not least, I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue 28. Ladies and gentlemen. And they now have the Ecola Blue 30. Check out all the great discounts and holiday specials they have running at EcolaBlue.com. It grabs water out of the atmosphere itself and sends it through seven filters. In the Ecola Blue 28, the 30 has even more filters. And it's just a great system. EcolaBlue.com, ECOLOBlue.com, or 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043. And that's our sponsors for the day. Your calls and a lot more straight ahead. Alan Watts coming up. Let's talk to Paul in Texas. Thanks for holding, Paul.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm Deborah Medina's coordinator here in Austin in Travis County. And, man, I've been trying to get a hold of Chuck Norris, and I was just wondering if you knew if he had any plans on endorsing or if he's talked about anybody in the governor's race. And if not, man, how can we get him on board with Deborah? It seems like it's
well, Paul, I appreciate your call. You know, we've had Deborah in. We like her for governor, and we've supported her. And I've gotten calls at home from people saying, you know, get Chuck Norris on the phone with her. It's not like I just call Chuck Norris up and say, hey, Chuck, get over here and do this. I mean, I can do that with, like, Charlie Sheen and a few other people I know really well. But Chuck's been a listener for more than a decade. He likes the show. He knows a lot more than he's letting on. He's starting to show people how much he knows. But maybe a few years down the road, I can call myself good buddies with Chuck Norris. But, you know, these people all like me because I don't bug them. You know, I don't bug celebrities. I don't ask them for stuff. I don't hassle them. Let's go ahead and talk to John in New York. John, you're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing there, Alex?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, this is John here with We Are Change Hamburg, New York, a new chapter in the fight against tyranny.
Well,
you know,
done.
Trying to make a stand. That kind of thing. Just wanted to bring a point to you, you know, let you know that we just started up here in Western New York. Today I went to Miss Nancy, what's the doctor's name? Yeah, it's, you know, the doctor there that came up with a good slogan, just get your damn shot?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Well, we went to her blog today, and we posted a paper that we released on Facebook not long ago called The Pandemic Hoax. Essentially what it is it's a paper that pretty much looks at the statistics as they're posted to today's date.
Yeah, and this flu's killing about 20% of what the regular flu does this far into the year. There's now indictments coming down in Europe of EU members, UN members, where the scientists are all making money off the hype. It is a pack of criminals. But it doesn't stop there. They're adding chemicals to the vaccines. Appreciate the call, John. It's worse than that. You're paying them to get Alzheimer's and cancer and to be sterilized. Cynthia in New Jersey, go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's a privilege. I wanted to tell you that I called Time Magazine today because of Ben Bernanke being named Man of the Year, and nobody there wants to talk to me. but I did leave several messages. Just felt that I wanted them to know that we know that they gave the prize to the man who caused this whole economic collapse.
Well, let's say one of the top lieutenants of Summers and Rubin and others that set it up under Clinton and worked it under Bush. It's all, yes, one of the king criminals. It's like giving Adolf Hitler an award for fighting Nazis.
But I just wanted them to know that we know, and they're not fooling anyone.
Good. Don't subscribe to them. I mean, I'm just saying, Time Magazine is a joke. Newsweek's even worse. Every issue I see talks about how great killing old people is. I mean, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. Since when did just everything turn to psycho land?
Everything is upside down. Obama gets the Nobel Prize for warmongering. So, also, to the other caller, the woman who's... the child.
And, yeah, here in Austin, and we confirmed it. We pulled it up. The corporations give the schools money to make the kids write dossiers on their parents. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, my son's 26, but when he was 18 and he had his last checkup with the pediatrician, my husband called and said, "Do not give him the hepatitis vaccination," and they tried to give it to him. He went in there by himself because he was 18 years old, and I waited for him in the waiting room. And I couldn't believe that they tried to give him the vaccination when my husband had called ahead and said, "Do not give him that vaccination."
Well, there's a bounty. Absolutely. There's a bounty on getting that soft kill weapon in there. Of course, the doctor doesn't care. He just wants to go to the golf course and have sex with his mistress. Continue with John, Jeremy, Andy, John, many others. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. This is an abbreviated, only one-hour interview with Alan. That's normally a full interview, but Alan's got so much to say, and I've got so much to add. We're going to get him back on for a couple hours early in January. In fact, let's make sure we set that up with him in his calendar before he leaves us. He is a big part of Fall of the Republic, the presidency of Barack H. Obama, detailing the global government banking/carbon tax takeover. This film couldn't have come out at a better time. It is exploding like no film I've ever produced. You can get a free Obama as the Joker T-shirt or a free Don't Tread on Me T-shirt with it at InfoWars.com until Christmas. So be sure and order today at InfoWars.com, and your purchase makes this radio show possible. We've got more discounts, more combos, more free videos than we've ever offered at InfoWars.com, and 5 months free right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. So check that out. Going to Alan Watt of CuttingTheMatrix.com. First off, I haven't talked to you since we got you a copy of it when the guys came to interview you a few months ago in Canada. What's your take on Fall of the Republic, Alan?
It's having a great impact. It's all over the planet now. And I get emails from so many people saying they've seen it. And it's hitting them between the eyes, some of them, which is a darn good thing because we've no time to lose here in catching up. We've got to be shocked into reality, and I think it helps to do that.
What do you think of the film yourself? I mean, I want your honest review.
Oh, it's well done. It's well done. I mean, even the camera guys, when they were here doing the take, they knew their stuff as well. Everything was well on. And I don't know who did the editing and so on, but they certainly made a good job of patching all the different pieces together to make it flow and keep the topics flowing so that people who didn't know too much could get an understanding and take them right through it in a condensed form, and that's what we have to do today because we cannot give a complete lifetime's education to people in a fast move except by condensing it for them and giving them important parts and really stressing how it's done and where it is going if they don't participate in their own future.
Yeah, I mean, we're showing people, here's the globalist agenda, here's their own documents, here's their own statements. Do you want this for yourself and your future? Do you want to be a slave who is eventually euthanized? The decision is up to you. One of the few criticisms I've gotten for Fall of the Republic is, well, I already knew a lot of this, or this has a lot of basics in it. Yes, that's the whole point of the Obama deception and Fall of the Republic, is to be slickly done, well-produced, highest-level graphics. And it has a lot of new information as well. But yes, it gives people the basics because we're trying to reach people who have no idea of what's going on.
And plus, when you get people together who know with people who don't know, rather than just go over stuff through books and weekly meetings, if you've all shared the same video, you can then discuss it yourself and chip in. It's a good way to catch up quickly to speak as to what's happening. You could have something in common and something you've all either seen or read in common, and that's how it's done today. We don't have time to give a history for the last 100-odd years. We don't have time. So you have to condense it, put in the important parts so that beginners can understand and bring them up to speed so they can then converse with you with the knowledge that you're sharing.
And then once they have a basic blueprint of just part of the system, it's too complex to give somebody the full view. I mean, I'm still learning every day. It's so big and complex, yeah. And they've had so many specials working for so long on different parts of this matrix system. But once people have a basic snapshot, a basic crash course in brain surgery, then they can start picking up the other rabbit trails and larger gestalts for themselves as their palate develops.
That's correct. You understand that we're up against organization. Organization has been working steadily for well over 100 years with non-governmental organizations who are trained in a school-type format, gradually updated with their vision of the future. As I say, they're organized, they're funded, and some of them are full-time employees, in fact, to get salaries from the big foundations and pension funds. That's what we're up against, massive organization. We have to do it with what we have.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, I was just now plugging Fall of the Republic, which really is my best film, best produced, most information, most timely, highest quality. And Weldon Henson, the head of our shipping department, just explained to me, UPS can normally ship anywhere in the U.S. in 4 days. They say 6 working days out from Christmas. So tomorrow, orders that get in today and tomorrow are guaranteed by UPS anywhere in the United States before Christmas. Now, most places, it's 2 or 3 days, but that's how we ship UPS. If people want regular mail, you can always order that way, too, but we found UPS is, I mean, the U.S. mail is really bad. I've seen a bunch of reports about mail offices just throw your mail away now. They just don't even care. Pension checks, toys. It's the government. And if you don't like it, a SWAT team will drop by. I mean, you know, they got the SWAT teams. They got your tax money. That's, I don't want to bash the whole post office. There's some great people at the post office. The point is, if you want to order Fall of the Republic and get a free Endgame, or if you want to order Fall of the Republic and get a free Reflections and Warnings, come on in, Weldon. Weldon is now here. I was trying to get him down here earlier. Real fast. So if their order gets in today or tomorrow, you guys can get it out by the next day, and then UPS guarantees it will get there before Christmas?
Yeah, it'll get there before Christmas. If you place your order before 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, you'll get it before Christmas, guaranteed.
Oh, so it's 8 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Because you guys want to get everything out tomorrow?
Yes. Well, and everything will be out. If you order today even, it'll be out today. And but we feel like, you know, we'll be able to do it tomorrow, too. So
now, wow, we were a week or two behind on shipping until we got Weldon. Now we're shipping a lot of times on the day it comes in.
We're up right now today, yeah. Anybody that placed their order this morning, it's going out today. So,
well, that's good. There's going to be a lot of little evil elves climbing down chimneys bringing people DVDs.
That's right.
Are you guys wearing elf hats back there?
Not yet. Well, I'll make them wear that.
Hey, the public believes polar bears can't swim. Why not say elves exist?
Well, there you go. Why not?
Maybe Al Gore's Santa Claus.
That'll be interesting to see.
He's not going to like this present.
That's one he won't like.
Again, free T-shirts right now that you can pick from when you get Fall of the Republic. I just want people to have this.
That's right. We'll get them to them.
Now, a lot of UPS stuff shipping out even by this Friday will still get to most people around the country, right?
Yeah, most people it will. Most locations it takes, you know, 3 business days. We just set the deadline to make sure that it covered everybody. Folks, even that order, majority of folks that order even on all day tomorrow or Friday morning will still probably get it, but we just can't guarantee it. So guaranteed to get it if you order by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good chance you're still going to get it if you order by Fridays. So.
Good. We should have been plugging that all week. And, of course, you can always get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership and share it as a gift with others. Weldon, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. Good job there. Okay, I'm going to shut up now and go back to Alan Watt. Alan Watt, enough with Christmas and Fall of the Republic. We have total mind control being established in the country. We have all over the United States, Europe, the Western world, children on record writing reports on their parents. We confirmed that the Perdinalis Power Authority in Texas, Central Texas, is making the kids fill out dossiers on their parents through the public schools, or they get a zero on their grade. I have a report here of where a boy drew an image of Jesus and was kicked out of school and is having a psychological assessment done. In fact, show PrisonPlanet.tv viewers an image of this. I mean, we really are living in a secret police-style tyranny. The RAND Corporation is already announcing that all your local police departments are openly federalized. Regular army garrisons will be stationed as domestic police, as a rapid reaction force to take over local police departments. That's in this RAND Corporation report. So much is going on. Go over that, Alan Watt, and then your take on what's happening at Copenhagen. Is their program really in deep trouble?
Well, we find that the U.S. is the last country to be basically completely socialized. This is the socialist system. It's already completely through Europe, especially Britain. Britain's an incredible country right now. Where back in the 80s, in fact, they federalized. At least they put a chief police association in charge of all of the police across Britain. And supposedly they were going to use martial law back in the 80s if Britain had to be sacrificed for first nuclear strikes in order for the U.S. to survive. So it's never got out of that mode. It made it easier for the federalized government to take over. And this is a socialized system. I tell people so often, don't get confused with fascism, communism, socialism. It's all the same thing, you see. And that's what's being used today. A long time ago, it was decided by the big powers and the economists and those who ruled the banking system of the world, along with the politicians and the Fabian Society, that they'd have to bring in a socialist system and train the public, train them gradually to allow the experts at top simply handle all the big problems while we were taught to play at the bottom. That's been very successful since mainly from the 60s onwards. And so we're out of the loop. Most folk are quite content.
That's right. They made it a moral right, like it's cool that men and women don't care and aren't involved.
Yes.
It's uncool to be involved. It's fun to be an idiot.
That's correct. And while we're all being idiots and playing and they threw credit cards at everyone, and they gave us a youth culture, a perpetual youth culture, where anyone over a certain age is just non-existent. They did not want older, wiser people coming into the game and teaching people what was really going on by their knowledge and history, etc. That's been very, very successful.
Yeah, you don't revere your elders. They're just people to be exterminated. And now Time and Newsweek have articles about, let's just murder all the old people. It's so liberal.
That's correct. And that is coming down. They started off in Holland with euthanasia. Britain has just passed laws on it, too. The U.S., I think, did their first main one this year, in fact, earlier this year, openly. And so that's the agenda. This is all written, again, going back to the days of H.G. Wells and the Utopians, the Fabians, and also population control is a ramp up abortion and sterilization on one end, which is coming down, by the way, as part of the Copenhagen Treaty. Then the ramp up the other side, too. Obama's already made the communist statement, and that's what it is, folks. You're under that system right now if you don't know it. Look at all the people who are on his staff right now. They're all that some, many of them are card-carrying communists, and they're true believers in this world Fabian system of socialism. We're experts.
But just like the media told us communism didn't exist after 1991, they tell us no New World Order exists, even as they announce it, even as I was reading 2 weeks ago in a Mercantile report that the number one shirts are hammer and sickle shirts.
That's correct, and a lot of the U.S. Teenagers are wearing them, thinking it's all cool and trendy. I'm going to remember, too, that back in the 50s, remember, the Reed Commission, authorized by the U.S. Congress and the Senate, did investigations into the tax-free foundations, the big Rockefellers, Ford, Carnegie, all the other ones there, who were funding what appeared to be to them all the far-left communist groups. And Senator Norman Dodd, and he's up on YouTube talking about this, he was astonished when he was told by the CEO of the Ford Foundation that their job of the foundation was to fund NGOs and so on. So changed society and culture within the Western world, and especially in America, that it eventually blended seamlessly with that of the Soviet system. That has happened. That has happened. And they're going now for the next step, because in Marxian economics, they must have everything centralized under world government. That's what the United Nations was established to become, with the IMF there at the top, the World Bank, and all the rest of it.
Alan, to interrupt, from your study, how does Russia tie in? Because Russia is paying people to have kids now, because they've lost 45 million people thanks to the global agenda. They're talking about the New World Order on their television. I mean, is Russia going rogue from the New World Order, or bidding for a better position in the New World Order?
A better position, but however, too, you understand, too, when the Bolshevik Revolution took over Russia, the Bolsheviks were comprised of non-Russians primarily, who moved into the Soviet Union, and they ran the entire Soviet Union through right through the Soviet era.
It was mainly people from Brooklyn came over and ran Brooklyn, it, and they got kicked out, and then now they're the neocons,
And that's correct as well. And after the wall came down, and prior to it, many of them moved out. Many of them went to Israel. Others moved into, a lot of them moved into California, Toronto, and other places to continue the agenda of the merger over here. Now, Gorbachev himself, who, remember, was the president of the Soviet Union, who was taken round the world on a world tour by Margaret Thatcher, by her arm in arm, and she introduced him to the world as a new type of communist. So they'd already chosen him to lead the Soviet Union as it brought down the walls. And we've got to go back to Lenin. Lenin said the dictatorship would last about 70 or 80 years.
Perestroika.
It was to merge into the West, where the new system would emerge, not quite capitalist, not quite communist. It's the socialist Fabian system worldwide, run by experts, eugenicists, all the guys on top, a planned society, a planned population, and that's what's happening right now as we live. We're watching the people appointed on Obama's system. We know who they all are. They've got tremendous histories of involvement in this communist technique and the Fabian Society. Holdren.
And by the way, this is not Joseph McCarthy up here.
Yeah.
This isn't Alex Jones or Alan Watt. Alan, because I read all the same books, he's reading books written by Gorbachev, written by H.G. Wells, written by Leon Trotsky, written by Joseph Stalin, by Vladimir Lenin. We're telling you what they said, and now their world government's here.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
By the way, Fox News is playing the 10 biggest stories of 2009. One of them is how the Japanese government wants to put lithium, an antipsychotic, in the water supply. Let me give you a news flash. Most U.S. municipal supplies already have lithium added. You can go over the toxicology reports for your city's water. You'll find it's not leaching in. They're adding it. You know, the national media calls me all the time, Alan Watt. And they say, you're crazy. You're saying they're putting cancer viruses in vaccines. You say they're drugging the water. And then I start emailing them mainstream articles, and they shut up real fast. They always think they've gotten me. Then I'll be talking to some yuppie producer, and I'll say, don't you care about your kids? And they'll start really, really realizing for their petty power position of lying that that they're really assaulting their own children. But they still just giggle and go on with it. Briefly, from your research, cancer viruses and vaccines and calmative toxins in the water.
Yeah, very, very old techniques. They started off with fluoride, of course, in the early days. They knew about this stuff at the beginning of the 1900s and what it did to the people. It made them more pliable and more easily managed. But it was Japan, too, where they first noticed that a particular village in Japan many years ago were much more placid than the average villager. And they realized when they tested the water, there was natural lithium in it. So that's where the idea sprung from. If we add this to other people's supplies, it'll make them more docile and easily managed. They won't care much what's happening in the big world or what's kind of coming down in the future. And that's why they're adding it across the world. We can understand, go back to Julian Huxley. Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, his grandfather was Sir Thomas Huxley, the best friend of Charles Darwin. And Darwinism is a big part of this whole socialist agenda. It gave them ammunition for their purpose and for their planning for the future based on superior types, inferior types, and so on. And so Julian Huxley talked about the coming system of control, where they would definitely use pharmacology and they'd use hypnosis, techniques of persuasion on television and so on. That's what they would use for the public, and it's been very successful already. Never mind all the stuff that's naturally prescribed by the physicians in the tranquilizing business. They also put it into the water. And you've got to go into the writings, too, of another hardline communist, by the way, who worked for MI5, like most of them did. And that was Arthur Kessler. That's declassified. He was an agent for them. And he worked with the United Nations during the 60s on projects to find ways of lobotomizing the human brain chemically or through viral or bacterial means. They discussed the means of directing biowarfare techniques right to the brain itself by injections. He said we can do it through the food, we could do it through the water supply. Their only problem was how to actually introduce it. And, of course, the public weren't to know. And the UN had different teams all working on the same project. Millions of dollars went into the investigations. Russia went the straightforward way of mandatorily lobotomizing people physically. The criminal element, those who spoke out with wrong think or had inflexibility of opinion, that was a psychiatric disorder, they would lobotomize them. But they found that they could do it by inoculations, where they would carry something right to the brain, fever develops in the baby, and they're short a few cents off the dollar from then on. That's all been done, I think, to be honest with
you. Which is good. I mean, you then get a partially lobotomized biological robot that you can then program, because programming doesn't work if it isn't started early and if the person has an advanced intellect that will then later in life discover the programming. It'll then be hard to get rid of all of it, but then stronger-willed people who are also intelligent can countermand the programming. But for a lot of people who were already just going to be average intelligence, they're now borderline retarded, and that's why you can't reach out to them.
And officially, the United Nations has lowered the official average IQ by about 4 or 5 points in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty soon geniuses will be able to tie their shoelaces.
That's correct. That's correct, yeah.
And they giggle and laugh about this, and their argument is, hey, look, the public doesn't care we're brain damaging them. They deserve to be brain damaged further.
Mm-hmm. And now we have the mass campaigns now with the fake flu pandemics and so on to terrify the public into compliance, to get the latest upgraded biowarfare technique to lobotomize them. And it's all part of the same system. They can't ask for volunteers.
Alan Watts, stay there. I want to get into the flu, your take on that, then Copenhagen, and then some phone calls. And we'll play that clip from Fox News about drugging your water. It's the newest, coolest thing. Of course, they've already been doing it.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul.
Yeah, here's Fox News, and I've seen MSNBC, the clips on YouTube, where they propose putting Prozac in the water, and the federal government's also proposing putting statins in the water. They're now teaching kids that five-year-olds need anti-cholesterol drugs, which completely eat your liver. It just doesn't even help you with cholesterol. It's all lies. Now, over 150 chemicals on average are put in U.S. drinking water. Same thing in Canada, the U.K. Some have over 300. And it's lithium. Everything. Of course, lithium's a heavy metal. Very toxic. It's the same thing with fluoride. Sodium fluoride. But when you hear fluoride, that's a catch-all term under federal regulations for over 300 chemicals they're allowed to put in. And I mean, they are killing you. Okay, that's why people look so bad, even if they exercise and try to eat healthy. These are sickos, okay? They openly write textbooks how they want to kill us. We're going to talk to Alan Watt about that in a moment. A real expert on this stuff and a big part of Fall of the Republic. But here's Fox Television.
Now, with only 2 weeks left of 2009, we're taking a look back at some of the most interesting healthcare discoveries of the past year. Joining us is Fox 9 medical expert Dr. Arkell Georgiou to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, the U.S. has been adding a fluoride to its public water supply for decades, and that's, of course, to prevent tooth decay. Now, researchers from Japan are suggesting that we add lithium. So why is that?
Well, they're actually not suggesting it, but they're certainly looking into it. Lithium is a medication that, in prescription doses, treats mood disorders in people with bipolar disorder or manic depressive illness. And what these researchers found in Japan is that lithium is present in trace amounts in the normal water supply in some communities. And in those communities, they have a lower suicide rate. And so they're really investigating whether trace amounts of lithium can just change the mood in a community enough to really, in a positive way, without having the bad effects of lithium, to really affect the mood and decrease the suicide rate. Very interesting concept. You know, it's the same reason why we put iodine and salt, fluoride and water. There's many different examples of when we put trace amounts of chemicals in the normal supply of food or water to help people's health.
Right. Although not, this is the first where they're actually affecting people's moods and, you know, the brain. So that, I'm sure, puts up a lot of red flags for people.
All right.
Moving on.
So what they do is they pitch it to you as a great thing. It's already being done. Lithium's already put in your water. Okay, let me give everybody the news flash. You can pull up an EPA report for any major city. And sure, they can say small towns have natural trace amounts. Some towns have natural trace amounts of mercury or arsenic or cyanide. Doesn't mean you want to go drink it. Alan Watt, they're really getting us ready for this because they know we're exposing that they're already putting it in the water. So they're going, yeah, we're chemtrailing you. John P. Holdren this year admitted it. And yeah, we're putting stuff in your water. What's wrong with that?
We have to go back again quite some time to realize that this is nothing new about the idea. The big boys had global meetings back in the 30s even, 40s, 50s, always looking towards this future world society they were going to bring into being. And they talked, as I say, about ways of doing it, and pharma was to be a big part of it. There's no doubt about that. They all thought about using pharma. And you find with Zbigniew Brzezinski, who pretty well says he's got his own man and as the president now because he trained him, in his book, Between Two Ages, that he published back in the 1970s, he talked about mind control. He talked about the technotronic era, but he talked about other methods too, where the public would be basically made docile. He said it can be done electronically by using standing waves across a whole continent if need be, which means it was already tested out back in the 70s. So it works. But they also mentioned other methods as well.
And then I saw a Baltimore Sun article about 8 years ago where it said, DARPA in major cities is testing calming waves.
That's right.
To make everyone happy. What's wrong with calming waves, Alan? Mm-hmm. Why are you and I different? Why don't we love the government putting a toxic heavy metal in the water to brain damage us? Why don't we like mind control towers? Why don't we like police in black uniforms and secret arrest and torture. What's wrong with us, Alan Watt?
I think there's something wrong with the uptake in our brains for these particular chemicals, perhaps. We lead somewhere else, which actually does happen in some people's physiologies. It's the same with inoculations. They found that with the standard childhood inoculations, the doctors are all trained to tell the mother, don't worry, they go home, have a fever, it's based in the head. Well, when you have an inflammation in the head, you have an inflammation in the brain. Inflammation causes brain cells to die off. So this is all supposedly normal.
And don't worry, we just brain damage your child and lower their IQ by 3 points.
Exactly.
And after 50 shots, they're going to be retarded. Don't worry, I've got power. I wear a white lab coat. Oh, I love my mistress. Oh, go ahead.
And then some people, there's always a few individuals where, because these particular biowarfare chemicals will attach themselves to uptake amino acids to go to the brain, because of different physiologies, sometimes it's waylaid somewhere else, into the intestine, into other parts of the body. They'll end up with various allergies. It's a very common
Well, take
symptom.
The movie Serenity,
yeah.
Based on the TV. Well, I mean, you may have seen it, but for those that don't know, They go to this planet where everybody's died to find out, and they discover the government was putting basically Prozac into the air, mm-hmm. but they found that 1% of people, it makes them psycho killers. So that's the establishment kind of saying what we're doing is having some unintended consequences. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's the same when they inject you with various things. Not everyone comes down with the fever, but often those children will come down with asthma or intestinal problems. The rest of their life.
They admit that all Crohn's cases have the measles and other vaccine
yeah.
antibodies because, oh, the autoimmune attack didn't eat your brain, it ate your guts.
That's
oh.
Right. Yeah. And so you often find people who have these problems are a bit brighter, they're more aware of what's going on because their brain was unaffected. Now they're going for everyone now with pharma, the calmatives, as they call them, openly. And remember, after 9/11, I think it was Rumsfeld. He was on television in the U.S. It was broadcast on Canadian TV, and he was asked by a reporter, what are you going to do if another major crisis breaks out? He says, we've got contingency plans. He says, we've aerosolized Valium and Prozac. He said, we can spray over entire cities or whole areas. And I thought, well, perfect, because if the Valium kicks in quick, you see, whereas the Prozac takes about a week to build up in the system and then takes over. So they've already had these things discussed and ready to go for who knows how many decades.
And now they've been spraying us, so John P. Holder can come out and say, yes, we're spraying you.
Yeah.
He can tell the Associated Press. There can be video of it, and people just go, they're not spraying me. Well, the White House science czar just said they are. No, they're not.
Yep.
No, they're
in
not.
In fact, there was a TV show in New York yesterday, and the News Hour just came out and advised people who have children with asthma to move out of the east side for overnight, if possible, because of heavy metallic spraying. That's all they said in this little clip.
Oh.
No justification, no follow-up, no whys. That's all they said.
Well, Alan, what's wrong with having aluminum dioxide sprayed on you? I mean, they're only helping you.
That's right. And then the barium will help build up, and you'll get cancer early, so you're not a burden on the coming healthcare system.
These are really loving people. They're just so loving. Oh.
You know, you have to go into the characters behind all of this and who is at the Copenhagen meeting, for instance. And the big eugenicists are there, the big utopians are there. Dennis Meadows is there. He was one of the big boys at the Club of Rome.
In fact, talk about that. The head of the Chinese delegation said, we own your debt. This is for those Monday, Associated Press and others. And we want global government, one-child policies.
Mm-hmm.
For Americans. And our government suddenly announced, yeah, we're looking at this. So,
yep.
I mean, they're just out. Go ahead, Alan.
And don't forget, as they look at the panel appointed in the U.S. Congress, there's John Holdren there who wrote the book Eco-Science back in the 70s with another mainline communist. And they are communists, by the way, hardline communists. And Holdren himself said he wants compulsory sterilization of the public. He said we can't do it the same way in America as we do in India because people in America are better educated. They might catch on. So they'll have to do it surreptitiously, covertly, and basically sterilize the people by other means. And they discussed what the ideal population should be. Now, these characters are all on board, and you have your Holdrens in every government of the Western world right now. That's not by chance. They're all on board right now, appointed. And the whole agenda is now set to roll forth at an incredible pace. Remember, too, in communism, the planks of communism was the destruction of the family unit. Families contaminate the children, according to them. So did Bertrand Russell. He agreed with this by passing on outmoded family values.
Yeah, you've got to have the state purely programming, and now everywhere, they under the environment, police, the, most of the kids' curriculum is dossiers on mommy and daddy on record.
Yes, and they also said in the Communist Manifesto, see, the family was an enemy, because the state must be able to talk to you directly with no relative around to stand up with you.
And because we've had a couple generations raised in Europe and the U.S. and Canada on this,
yep.
Parents are in the news locally and going, I'm glad my child is my boss and writes reports on me.
Yep. Mm. And that was all part of the push for single moms, by the way. That people don't realize that they don't give a darn about mothers and women's rights. They use them all for a different purpose to divide families and get them down until there's just you, the unit, like Orwell's 84, where that camera can pull you up and say, yeah, you, Smith, and there's nobody around to help you. That's what government... Nietzsche, we all said that. We will never win until we can talk directly to each citizen with, and there's no other citizens will stand up beside them. That's already here. But you have to understand, too, another plank of the manifesto was the distribution of wealth. And they could not bring it through under its guise because everyone knew, at least not so long ago, what communism was.
But now it's for the Earth. You pay Al Gore, mm-hmm. and the polar bears live.
Yes, they brought it back under a different guise, much more clever, and wrapped some scientific jargon and a lot of fakery over it, and a lot of hype and terror and fear if you don't comply. And they're bringing it out. It's exact same.
And they promise new technologies to free everyone. Well, they really set up a scientific dictatorship that doesn't allow new technologies to develop. That's actually in the treaty. Actually, the communists, that was their favorite thing 80 years ago, Alan.
Yes. And I'm going to understand it never died. It never died, as the Rees Commission showed. It was to blend with the West. By the time it would blend, the West would already be degraded culturally. And we have been degraded by thanks to Hollywood and television, and again through the academia system, because Lenin said it too, we must have an international academic authority, and that was set up eventually the United Nations.
So everything's standardized to the point where the average person tuning in who's a new listener just thinks we're gibbering and jabbering. I see people on YouTube everywhere, they watch these videos and they go, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
And it's like we're weird because we know the names of government groups. That's bad.
That's right. And they've also been trained, like Brzezinski said, that unless it's on mainstream media, that they will not believe it. By the same token, if something is on mainstream media, which is totally fictitious, they will believe it, like the fake flu pandemic. But I was contacted recently by a group under Ted Turner's group, massive network system, asking me if I come on and talk about global warming before the Copenhagen thing came up. And the two producers, a man and a woman, talked to me for quite some time. And I caught on right away that they wanted someone who didn't know their facts. They wanted someone who would just be anti-this or anti-that. And I was dishing out names, speeches, comments made by the big boys themselves on creating the fake global warming crisis like the Club of Rome. And the two founders, I mentioned them. I mentioned their book. I said they came up with the idea and admit it in their book. And I mentioned fact after fact after fact for an hour. Then, and I knew by the end of the hour, these folk would not have me on because they did not want someone on who could present the facts.
They wanted somebody on to say, I like global warming. Means I'll be able to surf more. You would have been on TV.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They wanted someone who would just go up there and be emotional and angry and so on, but have no facts to back anything up. That would discredit all the rest of them who had the facts but were never heard.
But the system is so discredited that even if that was the case, I mean, that's why the globalists are running out of steam. Their scientific dictatorship. Look at this. Wimberley School teaches students to be detectives, and it says they come home and investigate their parents. This is outside Austin. This is done in Austin, too. They come home and inspect their parents and write up detectives' reports on their parents' carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. This is going on nationwide. Oh, the freedom.
Yes, and now in Britain, they're going after people who live in rural communities. Remember, Agenda 21 at the United Nations, it all ties together, where the rural folk have to be crushed into the already overcrowded cities as this generation is to die off. That's the key to it, over the next 30, 40 years. And they're going after people's stoves in Britain. If you heat by a certain particular oil-type stove, it heats the house and it heats...
They're shutting off everybody's industry, and this is all in their own statements to destroy your independence. Let's talk to John in Maine, and then Andy and David in the next segment. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, hey, Alex, how you doing?
Go ahead, sir.
So I've been listening to you for about 2 weeks now, and a lot of the stuff you've been saying has really been matching up with my experience after working on Wall Street for about 10 years. I worked for Deutsche Bank Private Bank, and I was just involved basically in an enormous money laundering operation. It was a lot of the very same people who are calling for higher taxes have all their money in these offshore accounts with layer upon layer of legal protection so that people will never find their money.
And it's all selectively enforced. They only burn the little people who are offshore and steal their money for themselves. Yes, it's private banks, private bankers that now run the government and run the IRS. Any more comments, John?
No, well, the only other thing I wanted to say is that I was working down in the Miami office, and these banks are involved in huge drug money laundering operations as well. And that's all.
You should write a report about it. But, I mean, they now admit on British television that our government grows the opium, but says, oh, it's a good thing. I mean, there really is a coming out in the open now, isn't there?
I think it was just yesterday. There's an article in a Canadian newspaper and in a U.S. newspaper which stated after a survey and investigation that the banks that were kept afloat during the supposed, and that's a planned crisis, obviously.
Yeah, the UN said drug money kept us afloat.
That's right.
Is good. Yeah,
that's
that was
right. That's what came out there. Drug money did it. And, of course, there'll be no investigation as to who's responsible because they all know who's responsible.
But if you're caught with a matchbox of it, you're going to a slave prison.
You're correct. In fact, someone in the States phoned me the other day and said they could not believe it. They're 65 and they were asked why they wanted to buy a box of matches.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. Matches, spray paint, over-the-counter drugs. Everyone's being asked questions. All the clerks are being trained to ask questions like we live in Red Dawn.
That's correct.
I mean, just, folks, we are gone. Of criminal pirates running our society. They're training your children to spy on you and despise you. They're teaching them they're the boss. Al Gore on tape. Your parents don't know. You do. You're in control now. Time magazine for kids saying your parents belong to a bygone pathetic age. You know freedom and you want the microchip. That's a paraphrase quote. I mean, just bizarre. And it's over the top. They just intimidate you into accepting tyranny. They just throw it in your face and you just capitulate. Alan Watt, comments on that?
That's true, because they are organized. They can't help but be organized because the biggest bankers on the planet are in on this whole future. I used to be astonished as to why Lord Victor Rothschild, has now been disclosed. And they knew it all along in the 60s and the 40s, even the 50s. He was a member of the Communist Party. He joined at Cambridge. So he was a man from one of the richest, if not the richest, banking family on the planet. He also belonged to the Mossad later on. And he sold out all of the plans of Britain, including the A-bomb, to the Russians. He gave it to them, basically. And his personal belief, and this is what's so important, was his personal belief was that the right sort of people would eventually rule the world. And these were the most intelligent, once again on the Darwinian principle, would come down through centuries, accumulating, getting to the top, holding on to wealth, for instance. Well, they had only a system of controlling people and gaining power for those in the top. Everyone works, as Karl Marx said, by labor. Labor's the only real producer there is.
That's right. And the banks don't need more tax money.
No,
it's a system of control.
It's control. And he believes that money can be anything. It had already proven that after the Bretton Woods Agreement, when they brought in fractional reserve.
Speaking of that, they are now announcing the Arabs are fully going off the dollar. It is the end of the dollar.
That's correct. And they knew this back, remember, when they signed the GATT Treaty, the public were kept out of it. It was never explained to them by any media what the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs was. It never told them that, yes, we would be, the taxpayer would be funding for their own factories to uproot and go to China. They never said, the taxpayers will pay these corporations for 10 years.
And by the way, you're not just saying that. Of the $50 billion GM bailout, more than half of it went to pay to move the factories to Brazil, China, and Eastern Europe. We literally pay.
Yeah. And the public were utterly ignorant, even when suddenly everything started to say, made in China. They didn't, because most of the public are never conscious.
They love paying to lose their job. They love SWAT teams. They love open borders. They love their kids coming home and ordering them around. They love drinking fluoride. They love it.
They do, and they love to play. And that's a problem, and that is a big problem. They are the middle people who will do nothing. They'll go whichever way the winner goes.
That's right. That's why they do it. They think the globalists are winning. And so even now that it's proven we're going into a tyrannical world government, they're going, I like it.
I love
my kids.
I'll be okay
spying on me.
I keep my head down. That's their attitude. Yeah.
It's like the guy in 1984 who's bragging on his kid being a spy. And when his kid denounces him, he says, I don't know why the little guy denounced me, but I'm sure he was right. I'm so proud of him. And it's the same thing. I mean, listen, Alan, great interview. We're going to have you on, early January for two full hours to take more calls. Sorry to all the callers. We'll get to more of you tomorrow. Alan, great job. Your website's cuttingthematrix.com. My websites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. Let me say bye to you, Alan, here as the show ends. See Alan Watt in the film Fall of the Republic.
It's been a pleasure.